Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Hey, there's even a bridge! This is great! You can put six packs of soda in here. Milk, yogurt, you can put candy bars in the freezer.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Hey, I tell you what, you can take a good look at a butcher's ass by sticking your head up there, but wouldn't you rather take his word for it? No, I mean, you can get a good look at a T-bone by sticking your head up a butcher's ass, but then, no, it's got to be your bull.
Paul Perillo.
I have what doctors call a bit of a weight problem. I used to grab bear claws as a kid, two at a time.
That guy in a little coat. That guy in a little coat.
And Andy. And Andy?
You know where the weight room is?
Andy Hart.
Were you watching Spank Provision? Maybe you were watching a movie with that funny comedian. Oh, what's his name? Buddy Wackett?
Hey, that's a pretty girl down there.
Geez, I wonder if she goes out with one of the Yankees.
Eric Scalavino.
I don't like you. Probably never will. You're a smug, unhappy little man, and you treat people like they were idiots.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
I'm going to make you toast to the best bunch of freaks ever born. Maybe we weren't the smartest guys.
Maybe we spent a little too much time puking off balconies.
But we had fun, huh? Yeah!
When do you want us to tell you you're not on?
All right, welcome to PFW.
I wanted to see if you did the whole thing again.
That's stupid.
Your best one ever, Fred.
Yeah.
Your best one ever.
Wow. Anyway.
Can't recreate that magic now.
I have to do that at least once a year.
Oh.
Or else.
A year?
Or a month. Yeah.
Or a week.
A week, well, a week is the closest.
When's the last time I did that?
It's probably been about a month.
A month. Really? It's been about a year.
Well, for a while there, you didn't do it because he was playing the Open that reminded you to do it with all the times that you've done it. This one, you forgot again.
You got to add to that bit, Doc.
Yeah, you do. You need to update
right.
That one.
Welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. Kind of quiet, you know, unless you're talking about the Florida Pro Day. A lot of news coming out of there.
A lot of responses to Andy's blog update about that.
Yep.
And you see, Freddie, we're one of five teams that has scheduled an individual workout with him.
With Tebow? What do you think? I mean, you know.
I think you have to kick the tires.
Yeah.
You have to find out what's there.
I'd love to kick
you
the
know,
tires.
Don't.
Yeah, I think you should know. Well, everybody's giving him praise yesterday for, I saw Albert Breer wrote, he's coachable or he listens to coaching. He went out and tried to tweak some things. Was that ever a question? He's God's gift to coaches, teammates, everything. The question is, can he throw the football to a receiver?
Right.
No, he can't. End of story. Move on.
But unless you have some other plans for him.
Exactly. And if the Patriots want to do something
right.
else with him other than
I'm
make him a quarterback, as a fifth round pick, I'm all for it.
Right.
But if it involves anything, if he's anything other than a third day pick, no thank you. And I think somebody's going to take him other than a third day pick.
And even then, if you're going to take him fourth or fifth, you still have to have a plan for him.
Oh, I think Bill would. Yeah. I mean, all those stories he's talked about, the single wing and the wildcat and everything, now you're talking about Tebow now.
Yeah.
He was always thrown in at the end what that would mean if you had Tebow and what he could do. I don't necessarily agree with it because I don't think he fulfills the throw the football aspect of what do you do if you get a guy who can run and throw. He's not a dynamic runner. He's a power fullback runner, and I don't think he can really throw. Now, maybe they're assuming, well, if you run the wildcat, the guy's going to be wide open and you're hitting a receiver that has 5 yards of cushion.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know.
And the other thing, you know, is he really a power fullback runner?
Yes.
I mean, doesn't he really run out of sort of an option where he has space?
Yeah, but I'm saying the style. He's not
oh,
creating
right, yeah.
his speed and athleticism.
Right. He's not C.J. Spiller.
No, right.
Right.
Well, who, I mean, who other than Jonathan Dwyer really is? You want to get into it?
Let's go. I watched a lot.
It's go time.
Did you watch any more today?
I watched that whole first page, although I did get screwed up because what I'm talking about is we're starting to watch the draft film, the draft videos. So I asked for the running backs yesterday, and I started watching that. We'll talk about how I've rated a few of these guys. But
we'll talk about idiotic proclamations.
On the list you gave me in the order, and then the order of the DVD, there's one guy that's just not there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
Dexter McCluster.
Right. So I'm watching, I forget who it was, and I'm like, man, he doesn't look 165. This guy this guy plays bigger than that, you know. But then I went, and I go, this can't be the right guy. But so I did. I watched the whole first page of the spreadsheet.
That would have been Anthony Dixon of Mississippi State, who's 6'1", 245. Yeah. He's the next guy
on
the
85
list.
He's 85
pounds heavy. Well, there's somebody on our list that they don't have either that's rated like you have fourth on our list.
McCluster.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, you were watching
Dixon,
right. 245, right. Who you thought was McCluster.
And thought you were seeing, the guy that's built like Eric.
Right, exactly. So we'll talk a little bit about running backs because I was watching that today. I was impressed with Jonathan Dwyer. I do think he gained weight in his senior year or whatever it was, his junior year. Big bubble. But I think for a man his size, he's about 235. He can run. He can move.
He can't.
I think he's pretty good.
He's actually still doing his three-cone drill at the combine.
Oh.
As Charlie Weiss said, they measured it with a sundial.
Well, you know, and as a lot of the scouts say, you judge it by what they do on the football field. And I think he's pretty impressive. Yeah. You know, we'll see.
Yeah, we will.
Anyway, the other news that we need to talk about is poor Paul.
Paul's
been limping around for the last couple weeks here because of old man basketball. He did something to his foot. Turns out he ruptured his Achilles heel.
Achilles
tendon.
Paul Beckham Perillo, we're going
to
call him.
Yeah, so Paul is actually going to have surgery. And have they scheduled that yet, Paul?
Not officially, but it looks like tomorrow.
Tomorrow. And then he's going to be out of action for about a week. And then he's going to be in some kind of contraption where he has to have his foot up on his desk, not unlike every other day.
I was going to say, how are we going to know? Only one thing. Guess, a Pepsi in his hand.
Well, are you going to have
doctor's orders, got to have a Pepsi every hour.
Are you going to have a walker, a cane? How are you going to do this? You're going to have crutches.
Scooter? The boot? You're going to need the boot?
No, I think it's a brace.
A brace?
Yeah, that's what they described it as. I don't
Ron?
Know.
Ron's
sure.
Going to come up and hold it for him.
So you're going to be walking
around. You're
going
to have the thing Ty had? Remember he had that one knee scooter that you like hopped along and it was like a walker / cane / scooter?
I don't think so.
I hope so. Might have to do a video podcast of that.
Whatever the thing that we can make the most fun of, that's what I want you to have.
Right.
Well, does it really matter?
No.
Doc's wishing for his death over here, playing taps.
That ain't right.
That's not right.
It doesn't really matter how much you
trying
know,
to create a
make
somber
fun ability
atmosphere here for him.
I have, because I'm sure that you guys won't need reasons.
So you ruptured your Achilles, Paul.
Yeah, it's torn.
Torn?
Yeah.
Is that the same as a rupture?
I don't know.
You know?
Maybe we could get him a scooter.
But you're not feeling pain. You say you're not feeling pain.
No, I can't walk normally.
Right.
But no, it doesn't hurt right now. It hasn't hurt for this whole 3 weeks. Really.
All right. Well,
but the swelling,
it's torn.
The swelling never
there's
went down.
To hurt. It's not touching.
The swelling never went down, and I never was able to improve my gait, so to speak. So I finally went to the doctor, and he said, yeah, there's a good reason for that.
And will you have a driver to take you back and forth to work?
Not unless you pay for
Wait,
one.
You think he's coming to work?
I don't know where this work came into play.
It's your left foot, right?
That's correct.
Correct, I should
say.
I do
notice that this happened during drive, March Madness huh? where, you know, I have to be on
Funny
a
Funny how that works.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's exactly where I want to be is on a surgical table while March Madness is going on.
That's now. Only for a few hours.
Brilliant
you pay
planning.
Your 10 bucks?
The rest of the time you'll be watching basketball. Being served.
Very perceptive of you, Fred.
Beth, can I get another ginger ale?
You know, ginger ale?
With a straw?
Miller Lite.
Okay. But on the narcotics, I don't think you're allowed to drink, right?
Yeah, and I think there will be some narcotics involved for a while. So.
Right. No, it's not you're not allowed. It enhances the experience.
Oh.
You really should
doubles
do
the, like the effect of the drug.
You really should
slow
do
down
that,
your heart rate and all that stuff.
It just makes the drug more effective.
Oh, okay. So drink away, Paul.
He'll just be drunk after 4 instead of 8 or whatever.
We were going to go drink.
Right. All right. What other news do we have Patriots-wise?
Merriweather talked today.
Yes, and what did he say?
Patton and Bodden talked yesterday. Merriweather, I have a little bit of an issue with him. You know how we're always getting on him about his tackling inefficiency, inability, whatever you want to call it. So I asked him about it. I said, because he said, you know, I'm going, watching a lot of film, trying to get better, study up, correct the mistakes. So I said, you know, we noticed up in the press box that tackling was a problem, not just for you, but a lot of your teammates. Is that something that you're looking to work on to improve? And at first, his first reply was, yes, for me it is. It's definitely something I want to work on. Then he goes on to say that it doesn't really matter, though, because when it's tackling really comes down to hustle and that you need to have as many guys as possible getting to the ball carrier. And he said, you know, it doesn't matter how many tackles you miss, because if you have enough guys going over there, you're gonna bring them down for a short gain or a loss. And so he's saying that quantity is better than quality. He'd rather have just a lot of guys going after the ball and not worry about how they tackle the guy, because it's just a matter of numbers. Law of averages, you're going to make a tackle.
He's making no sense.
Well, it's borderline ridiculous anyway.
I mean, hustle.
But in the back end is absolutely laughable. The front seven, okay, you have linebackers, defensive linemen running to the ball. If a safety, as Bill says, misses a tackle, it's a touchdown. Those are game-changing. They're right. Your safety net, your last line of defense, whatever you want to call it. So he can't go with the theory, I'm going to run there fast, and if I miss, someone else will get him. No, most often, no one else is going to get
right.
him.
Now, if you have... You know,
Jimmy's on the field.
The Patriots used to have that swarming type of defense. A guy would make a tackle, but then the rest of the team would come and sort of pile on.
Right, there's
at the end.
Wrong with game
nothing
tackling.
Wrong with that.
I mean, you want that.
But you need the first guy to make right. the tackle. He then went on to say that if you look at the best defenses in the NFL last year, usually the first guy to try to make the tackle didn't do it.
But that's a totally different issue. He's mixing it up. What about
muddying the water?
What about do your job?
Exactly.
You know? And don't worry about what other people are doing. If it turns out that five guys tackle the guy, great. But if you're the first guy there, wrap him up.
Right.
Wrap him up. But don't go for the big hit. Wrap him up.
It's fundamentals. At this point in your career, fundamentals should not even be an issue that's brought up ever.
Yeah. Well, you guys believe in the big year four development of a lot of these players.
He's an idiot.
He's just...
Why does he focus on one guy? He ignores the other six. Anyway, Fred, more importantly, I think I found out the reason for my surgery now. I just saw a commercial for the first time for these Miller Lite newfangled bottles. I hadn't seen them. They kind of have screw tops.
I think they're metal.
Yeah, either that or some kind of a hard plastic. There you go.
Well,
there's a reason for everything.
Maybe I just tried to get
drunk.
There's
this whole thing now with the metal bottle, water bottles, instead of plastic water bottles.
For all the
now they're all metal.
Yeah, because of
I thought metal was bad.
Well, plastic was bad when they found the BPA.
Wait 5 years and it will be.
Right.
The plastic water bottles either give you cancer if you reuse them, or they had the BPA in them, which is big in baby bottles.
How does reusing a plastic bottle give you cancer?
I don't know the science behind it, Eric.
Because it breaks down. The more you use it, the more the stuff that's used to keep it a solid start to break down, and you ingest it.
So I shouldn't be refilling my water bottle all the time?
Not unless it's metal. That's why everyone has metal now.
Until they tell you that the metal kills you.
Is that what yours is, Doc?
His bottle from the, what'd you call it? Al Jazeera.
So.
Or the House of Blues in Boston.
You call it one thing, I call it another.
Tomato, tomato.
No, for people who are wondering what Paul's talking about, you ever see the drums? And on the cymbals, it's got that...
Zildjian.
Right. But it's got that script that kind of
looks
Middle Eastern.
It's an Arabic script.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So Paul accused Doc of being a terrorist yesterday.
First of all, was he? And I don't believe I ever said he was a terrorist. I just said he carried a water bottle that looked like a terrorist's water bottle.
All right, so... So you had the issue with Merriweather. You guys came to blows.
I love how he summarizes stuff. So Paul called him a terrorist.
You also talked with Patton yesterday in Mayo.
One last thing about Merriweather. He said his goal. You know how usually in the offseason when we talk to players and we ask them about their goals for the upcoming year, usually the Pat answer around here is, it's all about team goals and winning and this and that. Rarely do they talk about individual goals. Merriweather's asked about that, you know, what are you working on, this and that. He said his goal for 2010 is to lead the AFC in interceptions.
Mm.
said nothing about, I mean, he did say, you know, we want to get better, this and that. But his first thing that he mentioned was leading the AFC in interceptions.
Hmm. Well,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think he's going to have a big year. I think he's going to turn it all around.
You do?
Yeah. You know why?
Why?
Eric, you want to tell him? I'm sure you can follow my logic.
Lee Bodden?
James Sanders?
Are you sure he's going
to
start?
He went out to California and spent a portion of the offseason hanging out with James Sanders.
He did.
That'll rub off on him.
And Jimmy came and visited him at the Pro Bowl.
So now he's going to get benched for most of the season? That's what's going to rub on him?
No. How was the defense with Jimmy Sanders and how was it without? Thank you. No further questions. Let's move on. You want to break down running backs now, too?
Pathetically average in both cases.
But better with Jimmy.
Speaking of rubbing off, did anyone see Modern Family last night?
No.
You watched that?
No. I did watch a little of that last night.
I never knew, like, if you were in a locker room.
It's a great show, by the way.
And you bend over, like, to your locker, and somebody else does the same thing, and your butts touch. It's called a moon landing. I never knew that.
Never happened to me. Been in a lot of locker rooms.
I think I'm lost.
You sure you don't want to have that surgery right now, Paul?
I'm lost. I actually saw it. I saw the episode that the thing he's talking about. I just didn't think it was funny. I'm lost. I think I might be over the edge.
You know what's funny, though? I could use the exact
same humor. You're in pain with your Achilles.
I'm not in any pain at all.
I could use the exact same lead-in and say, speaking of rubbing off, did anyone see the season opener for South Park? They had a Tiger Woods-themed season opener, Fred, which was priceless. Must be seen by all.
Oh, yeah?
Ben Roethlisberger was in it. It was all about sex addicts.
They had them all in there, huh?
Yeah. Wow. They are good at getting those things in late because the Roethlisberger thing has blown up over the last couple weeks.
Yeah, really. Right.
And I can't imagine he was a big part of it before that they must have injected him later.
They're good.
Maybe they were planning to, like,
what about
first
the Bill
time?
Clinton thing? Say that.
Oh, yeah.
Can I say it?
Well, paraphrase.
It's so funny that something I hear, not bleeped at all on TV, I'm wondering if I can say on this show. Can I?
I don't know what it is.
Doc, rhymes with hits.
No.
Well, they're at sex rehab, and all these people, Roethlisberger, David Duchovny, Bill Clinton, all these people are in rehab with him, and Stan or Kyle, whichever little kid, is saying, I'm so embarrassed by this, I haven't even told my mom yet. And Bill Clinton goes, does your mom have big beep? That's his first reaction.
Yes.
It's just hilarious the way he says it. The show is tremendous. The show could not be any better. They are very good.
That's right up your alley.
No question.
No.
Your boy's on it, Obama.
I got a DVR. I got to write a note. DVR it.
He's writing a note to himself.
I have to, because I always forget.
DVR South.
We always want to talk about South
Park. You're
going
to write that on your hand?
DVR South Park.
Oh. You betcha.
All right. You talked to Lee Bodden?
Yeah, he was. That was yesterday.
Right.
I thought it was today's news, according to you.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what he said. That was of
well, you didn't
anything
write
consequential. I did, but it was on the blog yesterday. I really can't remember anything of substance that he said.
Apparently, Paul's Achilles is really making him hungry because all he's been doing is eating since the show started. He
has nothing
just,
to do with the Achilles.
He's just munching down.
How is that different from any other show?
First
that
of all,
wasn't really a shot.
You're very
what
quiet.
We do to open the show.
I have been quiet, but you're asking him questions about interviews that Eric conducted.
But why?
Do you want me to say, no, Eric, he didn't say that. What he really said was,
but it's,
I know I'm argumentative and all, but I wasn't
that
there.
For the draft podcast.
Why are you quiet?
Eric breaks down his running backs and then I correct him.
Right.
Paul, why are you so
quiet? Or Fred.
I'm not. I was allowing Eric to
be fair, Fred. He has a calzone and the NCAA tournament's on in the background. That's why he's quiet.
And a topic that we're discussing that I wasn't privy to.
Yeah, go with that one.
It's a triple play.
Are you worried about the surgery?
Not at all.
No.
I'm worried about the aftermath of the surgery, but
why? What goes on?
Just
there?
Things that need to get done. You know, like stupid things. Cutting
the
grass.
Gutters, things like that.
It's springtime. I mean, cutting the grass, getting the stuff from the shed to the garage and vice versa, moving the snowblower in the back,
Fred will send
the lawnmower in the front.
Kids are too small.
I don't want
to
my wife to do all that.
Right.
Have Fred will send
man
his son.
Come over.
Yeah, Fred will send his son. That's all I need.
Yeah, that'll happen.
One of the interesting things, though, from Patton yesterday was, you know, we'd all been speculating about it, but he's sort of confirmed that Tom Brady is not here yet working out and is actually, according to some photo that was published today, he's out in California and
walking his pit bull.
His pit bull, right. So Patton sort of not really spilled the beans, but he sort of, you know, just admitted in, yeah, in regular conversation
damn
that,
right.
You know, I'm not one of these guys or people who think that, you know, all pit bulls are evil. No one should have a pit bull and, you know,
I'm not
they're
either.
Just bad animals.
Product of the environment.
They're fine. But why do athletes seem to think that they need to have a pit bull?
It's a machismo thing.
Okay. You got me involved now.
It's ridiculous.
Is that okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can Paul. I jump in?
Jump in.
And I know Andy feels the same way because we talked about it. I'm pretty sure. Why do you, regardless of your environment, why would you have it around kids?
Right.
Period. Because that's under any circumstances.
That's the bottom line. Whether they snap or not, whether they're more prone to snapping, when they snap, they're going to kill. They're more deadly because they have a worse bite, literally.
Right. Right.
So if I think a lab is just as, you know, potential to bite a kid. But when these bite a kid, they lock on and they're trying to kill. It's death. It's to the end.
Right.
That's the issue. Why would you have that around?
Right.
You're choosing to bring that to your environment.
Yeah.
Your
I don't understand the mentality. I really don't.
It is. It's machismo.
That's crazy.
It's because they're cool looking. There's no doubt. They have like the muscular kind of
right.
stalky.
And nobody's going to mess with you
right.
if you're walking down
so
the street.
So get yourself an English bulldog.
Right.
You know?
Right. But it's the culture. And not even like socioeconomic or anything. It's they look cool, and everybody who has money and wants to get a cool dog looks at pit bulls.
Yeah, I don't
get it.
So
Josh and Arlington now.
Drug dealers have them. They all have them. From top to bottom. Rappers, star athletes.
It's like a protection dog, too. You know, like the drug dealers have them around there.
It's almost
like crack houses to protect the
status symbol.
Well, supposedly Giselle told whatever magazine that when you come to the door, he greets you, but don't look him in the eye.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. I mean, are those really the rules you want to have in your house?
Right.
It's asinine. Oh, I accidentally looked your dog in the eye, so he bit my nuts off. That's okay?
I'd also like to see how the conversation goes with, you know, what was he, three now? Jack?
Yeah.
You know, Jack, just don't look.
I'll tell you what the conversation for me if I'm, what's her name would
God
be.
Forbid.
He's not going to your house.
3 month old.
He's not going to your house.
And then it's like.
Absolutely. If
and
I'm
then
Bridget,
they say, well,
no way.
You know, we muzzle the dog. Oh, that's great. So you need to muzzle your dog.
Yeah, you have to make
how about just not have the dog? It's not like he was
him.
Your longtime love of your life,
right.
And then you had a kid. You, since having kids, have brought this into the environment. So you didn't have this relationship. You couldn't get rid of him. He's the sweetest. You've started this relationship since kids. It's irresponsible.
Is it a grown dog or is it a puppy still?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, you can make the argument if it's a puppy, you're saying you're bringing him up in that environment and he knows the kid from a young age.
And if he snaps.
I mean,
that woman loved the gorilla. It was the best gorilla in the world until it maimed her neighbor.
Or close to the point, that woman in Philadelphia who the mother had a pit bull all her life and snapped and killed her 37-year-old daughter. 37-year-old woman. That latched onto the throat, couldn't get it off, even with someone trying to help get it off.
Right.
What is a 3-year-old going to do?
Right. Do you think it's, because Brady was made fun of couple years ago or a year ago, walking Vita.
Well,
then he's less of a man than I ever thought he was.
I'm going to get my dog, and it's going to be a pit bull.
Well, Andy and I were joking that she actually told him that he was getting too much bad press about it and said, you need to get a manly dog.
Man up!
And you're going to name it Luna,
which is
Portuguese for moon.
Lua.
Or Lua, whatever.
Oscar?
Yeah.
Hey, Oscar Lua, what up, dog?
Yeah.
I just don't understand. I really don't. I mean, there's just so many great dogs you can get. And again, pit bulls are fine. I'm not one of those people that think that they should all be wiped off the face of the earth. But, I just don't get it.
Dogs should be wiped off the face.
Yeah, you don't like dogs anyway,
you
though.
You don't like dogs, Paul.
No. You're a cool human being.
But I have no problem with regular dogs, for lack of a better term. I'm not as educated on every different breed as a lot of other people
educated.
Are. But there's a lot of dogs that I've been in contact with that don't have the aggressive tendencies that pit bulls do. And I know it's always blamed on the environment and on the upbringing, but it's amazing how when labs bite people, it's not a death that's ensuing, and how all these other dogs manage to stay on this planet despite bad upbringings.
Right.
I guess only the pit bull owners have bad, pit bulls are the only ones that are unlucky enough. They have bad trainers.
Right, right.
Because all the other dogs that don't bite constantly, I guess they had good trainers.
Yeah.
I don't get it. There you go, Josh. Josh and Arlington don't like that.
So
he's one of those guys that's overcompensating for his lack of other areas.
Wee-wee.
Right.
I didn't say
so, I guess I figured out a way to get Paul involved. I brought up pit bulls.
All right. So
he's
we can move on and get back to the
drunk
Patriots.
A lot. That's why he's so angry.
All right. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. And I just want to do a big shout out to Rajiv.
Woo-hoo!
Who bought us lunch today.
Thank Love you him. Very much. Big time. Big time step up right there.
Yep.
Love him.
Rajiv came in the 11th hour. Is it the 11th hour?
Yes.
Why the 11th hour?
Not the 23rd?
I know. Yeah, not the 23rd.
Or why not the 10th hour? Or the 12th hour, for that matter? Why 11?
It's a good question.
Maybe because the clock strikes at midnight. You have till midnight.
That's the
so it's the last hour, perhaps.
Or high noon.
But like
in Cowboy.
Also, that would be the 23rd hour.
Well, no, what? I think people were killed at high noon. Weren't they hung at high noon?
Oh, that could be. And they got saved at the 11th hour.
Yeah.
There you go. That makes sense. Look it up on Wikipedia.
Once again. Something Eric probably should have brought to the table that he didn't.
Yeah, well, that's all right. He's very busy.
What insignificant factoids?
Doing what?
See, I can back it up.
He's eating and, you know, he's got a
what
lot.
What factoids does he have, significant or insignificant?
Every night he has to go home and clean 5 Tupperwares that he brings. You know, he's got to clean all that stuff.
He knew the word of the little scroll down on Doc's water bottle. He knew that off the top of his head. Oh. So that was one of those insignificant factoids that he knew.
That's because I used to be a drummer.
Used to be a drummer, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Son
so
of a bitch.
Artist,
is there anything that you ever
artist,
succeeded in?
Drummer, stand-up comedian.
You're lucky this isn't a month
nude
ago.
Nude model photographer.
Photographer, news producer, right?
Well, he's failed at more jobs than most people have had their entire life.
At least I've only failed at one. I just keep failing at
it's
it
true.
Over and over again.
But there's some.
Got a lot of interests.
A lot of interests.
I have no formal artistic training.
We're just not going to talk football today, huh? The team does nothing, and screw it, we're not going to talk football.
Maybe John in Dallas wants to talk about football. He's
he
on
doesn't.
The phone. Hey, John. John.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
What's up, John? How are you, man?
Doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm great. NCAA tournament started.
Paul's going to be out for a week. Well, so am I, actually.
We're great, too.
Okay, so Andy, you there?
Andy's
yeah,
here.
Eating a cookie.
So, yeah, we emailed Andy this morning. So I have a challenge for you guys. So before you grace us with your mock selection here, I was wondering if you guys would want to take the Wunderlich.
Absolutely. Andy and I have already done it.
Yeah, we're going to stand. We're like combine guys at the pro day. We're going to stand on our previous score.
Yeah, Fred's done it, too. You took the Wunderlich with us
all
that time.
It
was one of those tests.
Yeah,
so
we took the Wunderlich.
Just in full disclosure, I'll tell you right now, John, that Andy scored the highest.
Yeah, he told me that.
He did. No, that's accurate. We had the story.
The score, though.
The story was in the paper. We did it several years ago. But
yeah, I put
Eric
mine out there for all the world
Eric was
to see.
Not here yet, so Eric will have to take it.
You sent it to us the other day, didn't you?
I think we were all in the 30s, if I recall.
Yeah, I sent you guys I sent Andy a shortened version of it.
Yeah.
So if you guys want to take it, I'll score it, and I'll be happy to read the results.
Do you have the full one, or is that just the one you sent us?
Oh,
I can
give
you
the full one if you
want.
Yeah,
we have the full one upstairs.
It's the same one every year? They don't change it?
I think they do change it a little bit, but, I mean, I think there's different variations of the same test, if you know what I'm saying.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think you guys had a couple hours to spend on it, so that's why.
Oh, it's 12 minutes. It's 50 questions in 12 minutes.
I sent you a 15-question version.
Yeah, we'll put Eric through it, sure.
Anyways, I got my money on Eric.
I think you're an idiot.
Good man. You should be.
For the number of times he's failed us with his pseudo-intellect.
No.
He seems to be the
Eric
most well-rounded
test
of the
well.
Characters.
That's absolutely true, John.
He's the most well-rounded
it's
of the characters. He doesn't. He
by well-rounded,
doesn't
you mean he's failed
time.
At more things than most of us?
No, I have more interest than all of you.
I don't think that's accurate.
You have more interest than I do.
Time watching
yeah.
South Park,
that's completely false.
What are you talking about?
How he makes a definitive statement on my interests.
John.
How the F does he know what my interests are?
John.
You arrogant SOB. This is why everyone, including me, hates you.
John, you just made a comment that Eric doesn't waste his time watching South Park, yet he wrote a note to himself to make sure he DVR'd South Park.
Idiot boy. Brian. I was able to just watch it when it came on.
I'm not in the habit of doing that, wasting my time watching television shows all night.
You should waste your time learning something.
He only wrote that note down so you guys would make him feel like one of the guys.
That is true. He does that a lot. He has spent a lot of time.
He's not going to go home and watch it.
Wow, John quickly turns. John quickly turns. That's a 180.
The truth is never mean.
Eric, I'm still pulling for you.
I know you are. I won't let you down.
He's got no chance. He's failed so many times, I'm pretty confident he'll fail again.
What do you mean by pulling?
Oh. Remember that little conversation?
Are we back at it? Because I got to go back to it 20 minutes ago. Are we back at it?
No.
Just let me know.
No, what?
Just so you know, I just want to state for the record how under control I've been.
And I just want to state for the record who broke the rule.
You're a good man. Yeah, the person who always does.
That was John.
Because I have two shows full in my head right now that I can unload on you if you want.
What do you mean by unload?
All right, John. Yeah, we're going to give Eric the Wonderlick. He will fail miserably. He'll have an excuse. He'll move on to some other test.
No.
It's biased. It's against kids from the hills of North
Providence.
You guys
stopped at 12
minutes.
You know those
tests? Oh, yeah. Oh, we did it official.
No, okay. We did it real.
Legit.
All right.
Too legit to quit.
It's 50 questions in 12 minutes.
Right.
And like I said.
And I'm a genius.
Andy was the best. And we did it not just the writers. We did it all the graphic designers, the circulation manager. There was a couple of different people here at the time, but it was probably a group of 8, 10, 12 people, and Andy was the highest score. I can't argue with that.
Full of it.
You got the highest score. I did better than Brian Morey. That's all I cared about. I was competing with a
I don't need to wear my intelligence on my sleeve to know I'm intelligent.
You always wear short sleeves. That's why.
Exactly.
For some reason, I'm not surprised Andy scored the highest. I would be surprised if Fred scored the highest.
Wow, that's going to leave a mark.
Feels like a shot.
Fred, that's going to leave a mark.
He just gave
How'd you like that funny, John?
Good, John. All right.
John, it worked for Andy and I. You got a big, big laugh out of us.
508-543-7482. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Got a lot of emails here.
So read a couple of them.
Or should we get to Jonathan Dwyer?
Well, let's see. I'm looking for a good
one. Or is he going to take a break?
No, let's see. I want to read this one because this is interesting, and I happen to know the answer, so I'll read it.
When you were 14?
This is from Nano?
Nano Steel.
Yeah. I was listening to the March 1st edition of the Adam Carolla podcast, and at the 220 mark, Carolla says this, quote, "I did an interview the other day with a guy from the Patriots Network, the online Patriots or whatever. Nice guy for a Patriots fan, but of course, they now stand by the tuck rule, even though they can't sufficiently explain what it is and can't explain its existence and why it needs to exist and continue to exist." He then goes on to talk about how the Patriots radio personality defended the tuck rule. "I did a quick search of prior podcasts to see who this online Patriots radio person could be, but didn't see any names I recognized. Oddly, the person Carolla interviewed on 226 was named Matt Walsh, however not the Matt Walsh that Patriots fans and haters might first think of. I kind of doubt it was one of you guys, since judging by Andy's BBC appearance, all we would have heard about for weeks now is how he was on the most popular podcast in America. Fred, wait here while Andy states that he's already on America's Most Important Podcast. Patriot hater Paul would have attacked the team and agreed with Carolla that the tuck rule was total BS. Eric,
I happen to agree with that. I think the tuck rule is total BS.
Eric can't even make it on the local Neckin show, so I doubt he would be in line for any sort of national podcast. And if it were Fred, I think that Carolla would have had a couple of funny stories to tell about this mystery Patriots employee. Maybe it was Christina Acra, and it was Carolla who lured her to L.A., or maybe it was Bilo, or just one of the hacks on EEI or 98.5. Just wondering if you guys have any idea who this mystery Pat's online radio personality might be. Should I give it away, or should I?
Oh, you know the answer?
I know the answer to this.
Oh, really?
Yes, I do. I know the answer to this.
Give it away. Do we know the person?
In a couple weeks, everyone will know, but do you want me to give it away now?
In September when the book comes out?
Yeah,
everyone.
We're curious.
You don't want to be surprised.
No,
it's not as incredible as you think. John in L.A., who does Friday
outtakes,
mm-hmm. actually interviewed Adam Carolla for an upcoming column.
Oh,
and
cool.
So that's who it was. It was John in L.A. So
that's not nearly as interesting as.
No, but that column will be coming up, and what he's going to do is he's actually going to interview, as a regular thing, not every week, but as a sporadic thing in his column, he's going to interview celebrities who are either big football fans or Patriots fans.
And I love it.
So,
is he just going to have quotes, or is he going to use actual audio,
it's
link
gonna
for
be
audio,
written.
Or
it's going to be written?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's still
I love
that's
it.
Good.
Yeah. People like Matt Damon and
People you needed like to it. Do something to spice up that comment.
Oh!
Oh, come on, John. You
I
know
like
we're
John's comments.
You right, know we're only funny. Serious.
Okay. We can talk about it off the air. So that, Nano, I hope that answers your question. Of course it does, because that's the answer.
Because that's the answer.
And right now, we'll take a break.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in? It
says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. Says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited, but only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains!
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards,
but I,
first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
50 seasons of New England Patriots football. 3 Super Bowl championships. Endless memories.
It's good! It's good! Adam Vinatieri!
Live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' 3 Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back-to-back, 3 out of 4.
Yes, it's a dynasty. And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's greatest players or the signature film showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. And is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information or go online to thehall@patriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. An unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
Now's your chance. Hit up the PFW guys at 508-543-7482 or email webradio@patriots.com.
All right. I think you can go on patriots.com right now and buy tickets for the draft party.
Okay.
The annual draft party here at Gillette Stadium.
Which is on Thursday night.
Thursday night.
April 22nd.
Sweet. So there's a few...
Big time change to that.
Few tickets left for that. So
a few.
We were talking about the lack of Patriots news, and there was one item that I'm sure that all of our listeners are interested in. It certainly looks like all signs point toward another Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah,
appearance
I was just
going to
read an article about. I mean, an email about that. You read my email.
I can't go. I just can't go.
Does Paul's he
gonna,
work here anymore? Paul's going to postpone the surgery till the week before Thanksgiving.
He's actually going to tear his other one.
We got to do something. We got to do something about
up.
That game. Let's just not go.
Maybe
you know how
get,
you keep saying we're going
to
blow
the
up
Republicans to stop it.
You know how you keep telling you know you keep saying
oh,
we're going to blow up the paper. And
maybe they'll just deem
the
us
thing.
To have played on
let's
Thanksgiving.
Just,
we'll just
let's
write
just
a story
not,
and deem the games have been played.
Yeah, let's just not go to that one. Let's just all of us stay
how
home
about
today.
That.
So you know
what's,
what?
What's the problem? Paul?
Well, my wife has to work, and if she changes that day, then she's going to have to work on Christmas Day.
Well, she has to work. Put the kids with your parents. They want them on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what they're looking for. Yeah.
Well, isn't Thanksgiving about family?
I just say we all stay home.
Football, family, food, faith.
Well, now, but
that's
but
Thanksgiving.
In intermarital faith? Relations here, your wife probably can switch. we can't switch the game. So isn't that fair?
Wow.
What is he doing in here?
Two gender just walked in.
Why are you wearing a handkerchief?
But it's not even in the top 20 gay things he's worn.
No, that's a regular shirt.
Yeah.
I have to admit.
He just makes it look a little gay.
I don't know what size it is. But where do you find shirts?
It's a boy's
small.
Boy's medium.
No question.
Gap Kids. Wow. He's really getting skinnier, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. Maybe if I was skinny like that, I wouldn't have ruptured my Achilles.
Well, along those
as
lines.
As Andy said, you imagine the force?
Alex says, please read this. Alex is from Georgia. Yesterday, Eric posted a blog on the website, and he said that he will be home in time on Thanksgiving for a drumstick. But then he didn't post my comment and changed drumstick to leftovers. What's up with that? Eric can't handle criticism and then changes the words on his blog. Please discuss.
Yeah. I actually emailed Alex, and in typical listener fashion, he emailed back saying, ha, 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 no, 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 just kidding, you're great. As all listeners do when we challenge them on anything. But no, I was just kidding. I saw his email and...
So what did he write back?
He wrote, ha, ha, ha.
I don't understand what this whole thing
you
is
You said
about.
You'd be home for a drumstick. He responded to that, and you didn't post
it. Oh, yeah. He made a gay reference that I'm not going to post,
okay.
Obviously.
All right.
Because we don't post things that aren't true.
That's so true.
Hmm. It's true that we don't post things that are not true.
Right.
Right.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. Chris with a TIAN is on the phone. Hey, Christian.
Hello.
What's up?
Hey, we got walking moving over here in PFW.
Yeah.
I broke my forearm.
Oh jeez. Oh, broke your forearm? What were you doing?
Giving the... Really want to know.
Yeah, we do. Floating away in those floodwaters the other day? Bobby Morris with another three.
Actually, it was because of the rain. I was because I can barely walk and chew gum at the same time. I went outside my house to grab the Sunday morning paper, and it was probably about like 9 o'clock, and the stairs were really, really slick because of all the rain, but they were almost like slimy. And I went to get the papers, and there was an envelope inside
the
mailbox that
papers.
Blew away. Yeah, they go get the papers. And I slipped and basically just landed right on my forearm.
Oh, I'd come up with a cooler story.
I would say you were boxing out Paul to get a rebound.
How about playing over 40 basketball?
You
know, is that
you
better?
Both got hurt
it's definitely
at the same
cooler
time.
Than chasing an envelope that was blowing away.
Yeah, it was pretty bad, actually. Well, the doctor made me feel better. He goes, you know, you got kind of an odd fracture. He goes, this is actually called a nightstick fracture. I go, what's that? He said, well, it's usually a fracture that you get if someone tries to hit you with a nightstick.
Well, then I'd go with that.
He goes, so I said, oh, I go, so I can say I got in a fight or something? He goes, yeah, if you want.
Tell him you were kicking two cops' ass and the third guy in hit you with his nightstick.
Yeah.
That's what I'd go with.
Christian, what are you, about to jump out of an airplane? What's the
sound? I'm sorry, I know. I was actually just getting in my car right now. I know it's really windy for some reason.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Where are you going right now? Shouldn't you be monitoring the water levels?
Maybe that's where he's going.
It's sunny out. There's no more rain, and I got to get lunch. I'm starving.
The Paul Perillo approach. Food takes precedence. Hey, you grab a Miller Lite while you're at it, my friend.
Hey, for you, absolutely, in honor of your Achilles. I hope everything works out for you. It should.
Thank you.
It should.
He'll be better than before.
Absolutely.
Thanks for lunch on Tuesday, by the way.
Oh, you're welcome.
You're the best.
I said I was going to do it, so.
Bobby Morris blowing out Villanova.
Oh, my God.
Up four.
Oh, boy. All right, Christian.
All right,
irrelevant college
care.
Basketball team.
Enjoy
Paul's
lunch.
Paul's on board.
Right,
I always say that no matter what the topic is, there's a listener out there who is a
can relate.
Is a expert.
Right.
We're talking about the
that
narcotics. And Brian, who is a pharmacy student at the South Dakota State College of Pharmacy, says, I'd like to correct Andy the idiot Hart
absolutely.
On his, well, I would say ridiculous, but it's Andy's statement, that alcohol enhances narcotics. Fact is, alcohol should never be combined with narcotics, as alcohol will potentiate the respiratory depression and drowsiness effects of the medication.
He still thinks he's okay.
If abused,
would you borrow Eric's horse for a couple days to ride in on it?
If abused together, this combination can be very dangerous or even fatal. Please don't encourage
tell
this
it to Corey
behavior.
Woo!
P.S. That's a good line about the draft, he says. So
why are you still wearing your headphones like that?
He doesn't want to mess his hair.
But
you remember in the old days
he looks
had
like
a Jeep
TJ when he wakes up in the morning?
He used to have a Jeep, and you could he drives a Jeep. Maybe there's wind in the car, but he has a Cadillac now. Why is your hair always
now
windblown?
You might as well have a driver in that
it's
Cadillac.
It's running through the halls. I'm always late.
Oh yeah,
you don't run.
The so busy blown. In the off season.
TG&NJ for Eric.
A lot of meetings.
Says that Squidward can just go to southparkzone.com and you can watch all the episodes.
I told you.
Right, but I thought there was like a delay of a few weeks between the ones that just aired.
You can catch up.
Plus, you have to watch it on a computer.
Well, it was only last night. Till your IPTV comes. Fred's big on the IPTV.
IPTV's coming. Yep. IPTV's coming.
Yep. Internet Protocol?
Yep.
Yeah!
Ron Burgundy.
Dan writes in, I can't listen live, so I'm sorry if you have covered this.
Idiot,
I have heard that the Patriots have set up a private workout for Tim Tebow.
Did you hear that, the blog?
Is this true? If so, would you be happy to draft Tebow? And if so, what round would you want to take him? Also, I was wondering your thoughts about Jermaine Gresham, tight end out of Oklahoma, and Ben Tate, running back out of Auburn. Have a great show, and P.S., love the Tommy Boy intro.
Me too. Yeah. Maybe our best ever.
Best one.
Well
good
done,
job
boys.
Doing some work.
I like both of those guys, actually.
Just proves when you try, you can actually do something.
Gresham would have been, I don't know where he was going to get drafted,
down for me.
But he was a guy with all kinds of hype before he got hurt, yeah. Before last season. But 2 years ago, he was unbelievable. He had a great year for Oklahoma.
Yep.
Very productive, very athletic tight end. And Ben Tate, not the best running back in this draft by a long shot, but he was a productive player for Auburn. I think he was a pretty solid guy. I don't know what you guys thought of him. You all watched the tape, even Fred.
I like
Ben Tate, but he's not an upper echelon guy. I'm not putting him in the Jonathan Dwyer category that Fred likes to put people.
I saw him as more of a plotting kind of runner.
He's a physical guy, no question.
He doesn't really dazzle you, but he does have some athleticism.
See, what he dances between.
He reminded
sometimes
me a little,
he looks like a fullback. Sometimes he looks like a legit running back.
Remember our guy, Andy, a couple years ago from Penn State, Davis? Is it Tony? No, not Tony Hunt. Not
yes.
Davis. Tony Hunt. He reminds me of Tony Hunt.
You know, one guy I really wasn't that impressed with is the USC runner, McKnight.
Oh, yeah. Terrible.
You know,
none of us
thin.
Was.
Well, he's also just not good.
Was that the first track of the DVD?
He was great in...
No, he got into the DVD a little bit to get to McKnight.
No, the guy you weren't that impressed with was clearly C.J. Spiller.
Yeah.
No, I thought...
You immediately moved Dwyer ahead of him on your big
board. To quote Fred Kirsch on C.J. Spiller, I didn't see him breaking any tackles.
I don't know. I know a lot of people are saying he's a better prospect than Chris Johnson coming out of college.
Well, he certainly is a better prospect.
Yeah.
Because Chris Johnson was a nobody until he ran the 4-2-4.
I'm not saying he's going to be a better player than Chris Johnson, but no one had even heard of Chris Johnson until right now.
In fact, I believe
in his pre-draft process.
They're using him as a commercial right now, like, before he ran a 4-4 blah, blah, Chris Johnson was nobody or something.
In all seriousness, that's true.
No, I know.
And the only people that knew of Chris Johnson before the combine that year were guys like strippers who watched tons of college football. Maybe John Rook knew him. You know, guys that are really just college football junkies. Around here in New England, that we don't really watch a lot of that, East Carolina, no one knew who Chris Johnson was until he ran that 4.37?
Mm-hmm. No, 4.2.
4.2,
maybe.
Yeah. Until he ran that
something
insane 40 time at the combine. Now, in his defense, he backed it up. He's great.
Of course.
Oh, yeah. But he's one of those guys. He exploded at the pro level for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Sometimes you learn power at the pro level.
True.
508-543-7482. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. And we haven't heard from him
a while,
but no. Mike in Puerto Rico's on the phone.
Lucky might be. Dead.
Mike in Puerto Rico, how you doing?
I am doing well. How are you guys doing over there?
We're doing great.
Great, Mike.
Okay, bueno.
Hey, I just came back from Texas. I was doing more training over there a couple of weeks ago. And I just want to say, give a shout-out to anybody that might be listening. You know, being our place three all the way. And I was surprised at how small Dallas is and compared to Boston when I went up to visit you guys.
Well, it's spread out, though, isn't it?
Right.
Say what?
Dallas is very spread out.
It's flat.
Yeah.
It is great. I mean, because when you went into Boston and you saw that magnificent skyline, even though it was kind of mysterious and murky and stuff like that, but, like, Boston seems so huge. And then when you go to Dallas, it's like, you know, maybe four or five buildings.
Yeah, they don't really have a skyline.
Yeah.
But the city of Dallas is much bigger than Boston.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You know, mile-wise, you know, area-wise. It's just that Boston has a definitive skyline.
It's nice and clean. everything looks good. Everybody's very friendly, very much like Boston. So,
because a lot of people from outside of Boston think that we're not friendly.
I think
people...
he was being sarcastic.
Oh, you're being sarcastic.
Good, Eric.
Wow.
Okay. I'm learning from the master. There you go. Hey, guys, I was just listening to you guys talking about Chris Johnson and his speed and how that translated into the NFL. And I was just wondering, do you think Golden Tate, if you've taken a look at him, that might be somebody that we might want to bring in because of the speed, because of how good he was, how familiar he is with the system?
Well, he can catch he can catch the football. That's the bottom line. He's a talented pass catcher. He does have some of the other things you mentioned, the familiarity with the system. He's got good speed and athleticism, good moves. But the bottom line for me is he can catch. He doesn't drop anything.
Except
in the gauntlet at the combine.
I don't put much weight on those combine things, though.
I know. And he had times where he struggled catching the ball at Notre Dame, too. He had some drops.
I actually like his ability with the ball after the catch. I think he's a really good run-after-the-catch guy. He breaks tackles, makes guys miss.
I think he was as
miss.
Fast as he was at the combine.
I never thought that either, like, watching him play. I didn't think he had that kind of...
And he doesn't.
I didn't think he had the
football
speed that you like to talk
about. 40 speed.
But I do think he's a guy the Patriots will be interested in.
He was in Spiller best area for the 40. They were all in the 4-3-4, 5-6-7 right in there. And to me, those guys were breakaway explosive. I didn't see the same burst from Tate on the football field.
But what about this other guy that I talked to you guys about, too? His partner in crime,
Jacoby Ford.
Another guy ran a lightning fast 40 at the combine. Don't know much about him.
4-2 something.
Well, yeah, the official was in the 4-3s, but yeah, he and Spiller both ran a 4-2-8 unofficial. I'm going to have to hold off on seeing tape of him. I've seen him play a little bit, but I want to see more.
I would love to bring both of them. I mean, I would, obviously it's not my money, but, you know, I love the team. But I would love to bring Tate in with the number 23 and then do something to get Ford in the third round. Because I keep looking at, you know, the landscape. I see, like, Reese wrote on his notes, I see the Dolphins getting better. I see the Jets getting better. And we are just about staying pat, and actually not even, because we will definitely, I don't know what the prognosis is, we won't start off with Walker next year. And, you know, he's a big chunk of our offense.
If they're going to go with a receiver, I'd be most comfortable with Tate, just because I would assume that the transformation, the translation from Notre Dame to New England will be quickest because of the Weiss connection.
Now,
I'd still be scared, but...
Now, I would say if they had an opportunity, if they pick a wide receiver in a spot where Golden Tate's available and it's not Golden Tate, then that would tell me that they got some information from Charlie that says didn't necessarily have a great grasp of the system and route running and whatnot. Because I agree with Andy. I think that's a big-time plus that the Patriots have, knowing that he played in college in a similar system to what he'd be asked to do.
Hopefully they got the info from Charlie before he went to Kansas City, because I don't know if he'd be sharing much info at this point.
Yeah, I would think that.
You still think he would?
I would think that he'd have. No, I agree with your point about Kansas City. I think that Bill and Charlie have talked.
Already.
The
scouts.
Yeah.
The scouts that were
past.
At Notre Dame in the fall.
I think the Patriots have a good idea what the Notre Dame guys are from when Charlie was at Notre Dame.
He probably didn't know he was out at that point.
Even though we won the division, and do you think we're the team to beat, or the Jets are the team to beat because they got the furthest? And they've obviously gotten a lot better now that they probably have arguably the best backfield, defensive backfield in the NFL with both Revis and Cromartie.
Mm-hmm. Well, but the offseason isn't over yet. There haven't even been any RFA tenders, really, to speak of. The draft hasn't happened yet. There still could be moves that can be made, so I would reserve judgment on whether they're the team to beat.
At the beginning of training camp, you start coming out with your who's the team to beat.
He didn't ask you then, though. He asked you right now.
I agree with that. It's a little early, but I think right now... I do think the Jets have moved to the forefront of the division, and I think the one wild card that you can't escape until you see them play is the development that Sanchez makes.
Right. Which is why I like Fred, I'm lukewarm, but it really doesn't have anything to do with the moves. It's because I think the Jets are better, but my own personal rule is always to rank the team with the better quarterback higher,
and
that's clearly Brady.
And I would agree with that.
So I'm breaking my own rule to put the Jets ahead of the Patriots.
And that's the one caveat I always mention.
Anythingbutpatriots.com.
No, because the Patriots have Belichick and Brady, and I always go with the quarterback and the coach.
But you still won't do it.
But what? We are. He's just we telling are. You he's going
he said,
with them.
He said he said he's putting the Jets ahead.
No,
of him.
I said that.
I want
he
to.
He said he's
I'm
putting,
torn because the Jets were playing very good football in the postseason last year, correct?
If you go top to
correct.
Bottom rosters, I think the Jets have a better roster.
No.
That's all I'm saying. You can't escape the quarterback. And that's the major, major advantage the Patriots have had for this decade, is they've had better quarterback and coach than the other teams in the division. But I think top to bottom roster, 53-man roster, I think the Jets roster is better right now than the Patriots. And I don't think you could say that, in the past.
The supporting cast going to bring Sanchez up, basically, because now he's got, a versatile player, even though on the wrong side of 30 with LaDainian Tomlinson, he's going to get Washington back, hopefully. Leon Washington, and now Braylon Edwards will have the advantage of going through a mini camp.
Yep.
And they're definitely going to pick up another receiver in the draft or somewhere along the line.
Mm-hmm.
It just worries me that much that I see a lot of people like going forward, and we're basically staying the same.
Well, right now we're staying the same, but as Eric said, there's a lot of offseason left.
And I think that the things that they did to stay the same were important, and I do think that. I would caution people that have said, well, they've done nothing so far. They've done a lot. They've made significant resources. They've used significant resources to keep guys that were important.
Will Fork and Baden sure.
were
Fork
and
moves.
Baden were important moves, in
but,
my opinion. But they need to do more.
They were on the field when you were getting blown out. People want to get better from the last time they saw them.
And I agree with that. And that's why I made the statement. I think the Jets are ahead of them right now, but there is a long way to go.
I think the Patriots' defense improved. Not just because they re-signed those guys, but because Belichick is now going to be taking more of an active role in it.
I hope.
I'm not willing to say
that. I am.
We make all these assumptions.
You talked about it at the end of last season, that you thought he was spreading himself too thin.
Right.
Now that he doesn't have
I never said that.
That's my concern,
That's all the
Michael.
Fans saying.
That's my concern.
You're not a fan?
What?
I just go by what I see.
I'm an educated fan.
Educated.
I just go by what I see.
Yeah.
They haven't been as good, though.
I'll let you go now. Thanks for everything. Keep the light going until the season starts. And like I told Doc, put me on QE to get you lunch one of these days. All right.
All right.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Mike.
It's actually
Puerto Rico serving our country.
Kiwi, not QE. I just wanted to clarify. It's Kiwi.
Reverend Ray writes, and everyone speculates about trading next year's Raiders pick, but nobody mentions trading our pick in round one. I understand the logic of hanging on to the Raider, probably top 10 pick, but would you trade next year's Pats number one, likely 22 or higher, to move up in this year's draft? Also, on the subject of that Raiders pick, let's pretend it is number one overall, not too unlikely. If there were prospects who you knew will have careers as good as the following players, who would you take?
Bo Jackson.
Ready?
Oh, God.
A prospect who will be as good as Larry Fitzgerald, would you take him?
Yep.
Yes.
That's number one. Jake Long?
No.
Asumaga?
Asamoah?
Asamoah.
Namdi
Asamoah? Asamoah.
No.
Bo Jackson?
Yes. Was it really there?
Yeah.
I don't.
You wouldn't take Bo Jackson, number one overall?
No, I'm still stuck on Asamoah.
I take Asamoah.
I think I would take him.
How about?
I want to see more of him. You don't get to see him play.
How about Warren Sapp?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Well, a dominating interior lineman.
The fit here is a little off, but
cornerback
number one overall.
That's not what I'm going for.
What corners have been taken number one overall?
I don't think you could. I'm not sure if there have been any.
I don't think there have. Dion went fifth, right?
It wasn't
Ken
first.
Walter.
We have not had NFL level punting.
Easy.
All right.
Let's see. Preston from
Wait a
Brockton.
Minute. I just wanted to. Did you already delete it? Did he write trade our pick, which is
22 or better?
Or
higher, meaning lower.
Eh?
I think he means 22 or one of
worse.
The playoff teams.
No, he was saying, level. Not necessarily in that little exercise, but in another question, he said, everyone talks about trading the Raiders pick.
Right.
Would we be willing to trade
our own
pick?
No, I was interested in the phrase, does he think it's going to be the 18th pick in the draft?
He thinks our pick
no,
would be
I think
22 or higher.
I think worse.
Oh, he means?
I think that's what he was saying.
Okay.
22, 25, 27.
Okay.
I would say there's a better chance of being
18.
Well, I also think when you say
higher teens, then
a higher pick,
higher than
it means 22. It's a better pick. It's in the teens. And I thought it was
it's
interesting.
One of those things that depends on how you look at the map, Andy.
I thought a fan was assuming that they were going to be worse, so your pick would be higher.
Preston from Brockton, have we released Adelius yet?
No.
I'm sick of his presence here in New England. One bad apple spoils a bunch. We need to move on from this tumor and get new talent in here via the draft. But just the thought of this guy on the roster sucks. And what do you think of the rumors surrounding the new Thomas? Safety from Texas. Do you like him over Eric Berry?
Earl Thomas? Well, there's also a question of what he is. Is he a safety or is he a corner? He says he's a defensive back. But yeah, he's another private workout guy. No, I kind of like Eric Berry.
All right.
I think some people are forcing they always like to force, Mayock being one of them, to always go against the grain and have somebody different as their number one overall at certain positions.
Yeah.
And this year, clearly, Earl Thomas is his guy. Even at the combine, some guy said, Mike, do you really think Eric Berry is worthy of a top five pick as a safety? That seems a little high. And Mayock said, clearly you haven't read my stuff because I have Earl Thomas as my top safety. So it's the whole ego thing. I got to be different.
Oh, yeah. Rajiv, again, was nice enough to buy us lunch, and he has also sent us a lengthy.
Yeah, we don't have time.
It's almost 2 weeks into free agency, and I've heard a lot of people being unhappy about the moves or the lack of moves the Patriots have made. I think we did make the important moves, signing Wilfork, Bodden, Bantikane. Wilfork, according to me, and I am sure you will agree, is not only the best 3-4 nose tackle, but the central piece of Belichick's defense and might become more of a vocal leader this year and beyond now that he has strength in numbers. As for Bodden, I think he is going to just get better with a whole year's experience in Belichick's system under his belt, and Bantikane is a solid outside linebacker. I do agree with the fact... Oh, man. What happened?
You find the email, I'll ask a question. Would he have felt the same way if Wilfork had signed last September and the other moves had been all that they had done?
Okay.
Because they were going to do it at some point. If they had done it when they first tried, would it still count towards... Now, don't forget, they spent a lot of money on Wilfork, or would you say they haven't done anything?
I think that re-signing Wilfork was a good move. I would caution this whole groundswell of support for... Now he's a vocal leader. I think you're either a leader or you're not a leader. I think Vince does a decent job as a leader. I'm not saying that he's a bad leader, but $40 million doesn't make you a vocal leader in the locker room. I think that's a bad fit, and it certainly seems like that's the intention that we're looking for here based on a lot of the quotes from a lot of different areas, and that's, to me, an area of concern.
I do agree with the fact that we have retained an average/above-average defense from last season, but keeping the status quo is necessary in making the defense better. Had we lost these players, then the additions we would have made, either through free agency or the draft, would have brought us back to being just average. But being able to keep the defense intact, apart from the Green loss, now allows us to add pieces to this average defense to make it good/great. Given the free agent class, I see the Patriots improving through the draft, and we have the picks to do so. I agree that asking rookies to come and contribute is a lot, but I think that the current generation of rookies have shown that they can come and contribute significantly and at times even dominate at the next level, such as Clay Matthews, Jerod Mayo, Brian Cushing, Connor Barwin. And I don't just speak of the top 10 players. So I do believe...
I don't even know who Connor Barwin plays for.
So I do believe if we draft smartly...
I've yet to see him dominate again.
...and at positions of need without trading away our picks, we might be pretty good. And oh yes, the last thing I want to hear from the Patriots is value. What I want is talent, playmakers, who we cannot pass over in the quest for value. For then, we will again be average, and I don't see any value in that. You are either good or not, period.
Then and only then will we be.
Just curious as to when we can get some analysis on the players we all would like to see in a Patriots uniform. I thought you mentioned something about the tapes coming in late. Blame it on Bill Polian. Anyway, it's always great listening to you guys, and keep up the great work and enjoy lunch. And hopefully this email gets read along with the other emails on the show.
Wow. Felt like a shot.
Oh, gee.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for lunch.
Yep.
Love it. Very much appreciate it.
Tapes did come in. They didn't come any later than they normally do. This is about the time we get
them. It's always late with B-Lo.
But post-draft.
And we are watching.
Post-combine.
I urge you to listen to the running back breakdown. It was a phenomenal podcast earlier this week.
Spirited.
Andy and Eric did a great job breaking down all the running backs, and we'll do the same thing for
every
position.
This is John Hanna, Patriot Hall of Famer. Download the podcast now.
Yes, Saban, you hear him?
Did he redo that and say it meaner? Because I think the now sounds meaner.
Yeah, he's always pretty mean.
So
keep looking for the podcasts, the blog. Well, even Fred Kirsch even watching some tape this year offering his opinions.
Could be troublesome. But can we get into that? That
you
think
the draft
Dwyer
room
is
with Brian Lowe starts in a couple of weeks?
I think
Dwyer's better than Spiller is what you said.
You know, as an every down back, he might be a better back.
In what league?
Well, you know.
UFL?
I don't know. Between the tackles back.
I could not have downgraded, as you said, on our big board, which I set up early, not even as much in my own opinions as much as consensus.
Right.
Dwyer came in as the number two back. He has now fallen greatly pretty much everywhere except in Fred's mind. Had a terribly slow times. He ran a 4.7 change 40. But the slowest was his three-cone drill showed no quickness. And I thought on tape it exhibited the same thing.
I thought on tape he showed a lot of power and speed for a guy that size. He's 240 pounds. He's not going to be as quick as
enough.
C.J. Spiller.
It doesn't matter. He needs to be quicker than the defensive ends, linebackers, and guys that are chasing him.
He doesn't have that. Paul, did you watch the tapes?
No. I don't know if you know I'm having surgery.
Doesn't go to the combine. Doesn't watch the tapes.
Not going to Thanksgiving.
Doesn't do Thanksgiving.
Josh and Hamilton.
What does he do again?
What
does he do?
Contributing writer.
Josh in Hamilton says, long-time listener, first-time
Bobby
subscription
Morris
buyer.
Is really, really
All
in good
All he does
shape.
Is watch basketball. Thank you, Josh.
What did he say?
He's a first-time subscription buyer.
Oh, thank you. We need more of your type, your kind.
Just received my first issue. Just want to thank you for all your hard work and the entertainment you provide. Just a quick question.
Yes.
I just read on ProFootballTalk.com that the Patriots are among five teams that are taking a closer look at Tebow. In your opinion, what would be the circumstances surrounding the Pats drafting Tim Tebow? I would rather the Patriots not waste a pick on Tebow because I think they have more pressing needs, as Andy suggests, in rushing roulette.
Well done, Josh.
Where do you think Tebow will be drafted as opposed to where he should be drafted?
He'll be drafted two rounds too high.
I think he's going to get drafted in the second round by a Florida team to put butts in the seats.
And if he's not, and he's still there in round four,
Dolphins can't
draft. New England will take him.
I was thinking more of Jacksonville.
Because the Dolphins just can't.
They took Pat White last year. You'll be happy to know that from the tapes, I've downgraded.
Do you use arrows?
No, but I've downgraded Toby Gerhardt
to a late second,
green flags.
Green flags.
Third round pick.
Well, it's still too high.
He's downgraded. Isn't that where he was?
That's where he was. Fred has a high side.
So just in Fred's mind, he's downgraded.
Yeah.
Just like big, bruising running backs with slow feet, right?
You do.
Well, I think Gerhardt doesn't have quite the speed enough for the NFL.
Yeah. Nor does
I love his
Dwyer.
Balance. I love his strength. He's got good vision.
He's also taken a lot of hits.
Yeah.
Short yardage fullback type.
I think what you're missing on Dwyer, he just doesn't
have the speed, I don't think.
He got the ball on a lot of pitches, which allows you – it's basically a flying 40. You know how some teams test 40 times where you get a head start and then they measure a 40 in the middle?
Yeah.
That's what you're seeing from Dwyer. He wasn't building up speed. He got the chance to build up speed without the ball, and the quarterback with the pitch put him in position on the edge to make some plays. He cannot run with the ball in his hand. He can't.
I'll go over
he benefited from the offense.
Wow, you really – this is really an adamant
– I watched the tape, Paul, and I call
analysis.
It I didn't feel this passionately until he said he was
better than
C.J.
Spiller.
You want to talk about Tim Tebow. Spiller is one of the great playmakers in college football history. He's great.
He gets personally offended.
I don't know that he'll be a great pro.
He's getting more and more
intense. That's what I'm projecting as a
face
pro.
Is the color of his shirt.
Now, if you listen to our podcast, Fred,
you
would know that Spiller, in my mind, is going to be a bit of a disappointment at the NFL.
The bar's too high for C.J. Spiller.
Well, there you go.
But Dwyer will not be relevant.
You think Jonathan Dwyer's better.
Don't help
Dwyer will not be relevant at the NFL level. He will not.
Okay.
He will come in, he'll be a bruising, boring, terrible back for a couple years and be out of the league.
All right.
Will help the average get down to 4 years per season. He'll balance out veterans like Tom Brady and Peyton Manning who have long careers.
I made the comparison to last year's draft with Knowshon Moreno, who was considered the consensus number one back.
Yeah.
And I think Spiller's certainly a notch above Knowshon Moreno. And we saw what Moreno did last year in his rookie year.
He did well.
So I think you can maybe the expectations for Spiller will be way too high, but I think that his production will be higher than what Moreno's was in the NFL this past year.
Who do you think was better coming out of college? Marion Barber or Jonathan Dwyer?
I think they're comparable.
Well, okay. I'll take him. I'll take him.
Well, Jonathan Dwyer is not going to be.
Jonathan Dwyer did better in the NFL.
You can take Marion Barber.
Not going to be that good.
All right, we'll see. I don't know. I don't know either. I'll see.
I do know.
I was a little bit impressed with a guy that size.
Whoa! A little bit impressed, or you said he's better than Spiller?
I said I would take Dwyer over Spiller.
You said he was better.
So you're saying he's the number one running back in the class?
I think he'll be a better pro.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wrong.
Okay. Paul in London. When will we get the new update of the Patriots app so that we can listen to the show live? It's coming. Two.
It's always coming. When's it going to come?
We're trying to get some of the updates done by the draft. So.
What are you looking at in there? Can I speak without people making giggly little immature faces?
Are you dipping?
No. Is the Pope Catholic?
That's not good for you.
He always has a dip in his mouth.
That stuff is nasty.
That's dip in his mouth.
Really, you should quit that habit.
It's disgusting.
It really is.
Unprofessional.
It is unprofessional, too.
Thank you.
I like when he gets serious.
Wow. You know what that meant? Go F yourself. That's what that thank you meant.
No, but you don't walk around a business dipping. You know, it's unprofessional.
It really is. Yeah. Dirty, yeah. Disgusting.
Any excuse, huh?
Hold the dip out of your mouth.
That's dip.
Two, do 2-3-2 in terms of draft hours, mainly because who knows when we'll draft in round one, if at all, whereas we have three picks in round two, and I want to hear the reactions of Bill drafting Tebow and Fred waving bye to Brady.
I wish we could get one of those. Remember when they do the Jets thing and they pick live and they're always booing and mad.
Right.
I wish we could get one of those meters somehow on Patriots Nation if they trade out of the first round.
Right.
I would love the audible reaction to that because there will be swears, groans.
Put one in the draft party.
Ooh. Oh,
yeah, 2-3-2 might sound good. What do you think, Doc? 2-3-2.
I don't know. I'm more of a 3-4
like
guy.
That's what I said Tuesday.
3-5-3. 3-5-3 works. 3-5-3?
2-3-2?
It's all the rage in college.
Read this email, and I'll buy you lunch the last show before the draft to go with the other three I've bought you douchebags this year.
You got it, doucher.
I really get, embarrassed when people buy us lunch.
Me too, and then I eat it.
I do.
It never stops you from ordering it.
And also, go to pfwinprogress.com where we will be beginning our consensus mock draft on Friday and join in with discussions on prospects ranging from Bradford down to my guy, Brandon Banks, who was a wide receiver kick returner out of Kansas State.
Guy who's smaller than I think.
Thanks for a fun show, guys.
No,
and hopefully see you early in the season if I make it to Boston.
Okay, good luck.
Who was that again?
Paul in London.
We'll take that lunch. We read your email.
Another suggestion, Andrew in the Ukraine, for the draft shows, if you do 7 hours, do 3-3-1. If you do 6 hours, go 2-3-1. The second round is definitely going to draw the greatest interest from Pat's perspective. Also, I'm assuming you will podcast the shows with a 7-hour time zone difference. I won't get to hear anything with the Patriots do live unless I stay up till 4 or 5 in the morning.
Well, are you dedicated or not?
So then the question is when? Like, when do you start with each show?
Hmm.
We have to make that.
We have to be on the air for our first round pick.
Right.
Assuming there is one.
Let's see. Stripper says Adam Schein is going ballistic on NFL radio today about the Seahawks paying Whitehurst $10 million for 2 years. Do you think Seattle made a mistake? Charlie Whitehurst.
If that's what they paid, yes. I agree with Adam Schein.
One of our blog readers sent us a comment that with the link to that story in it on NFL.com about the whole not having a third-round pick and giving him a qualifying offer and – it was kind of bizarre. The article sounded like the Seahawks made an offer to Whitehurst that he signed, but they didn't have the third-round pick to give to the Chargers as compensation, so they worked out a trade deal. But you weren't even – our understanding
– effed it up.
Our understanding is you're not even allowed to make an offer unless you have the pick.
That's what I thought.
I'm pretty sure they gave him an offer sheet. He didn't sign it. They just put together parameters of an offer sheet. The Chargers got involved. Okay, we'll take the third-rounder next year and it become a trade. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, probably. If Lock and Fora writes, Whitehurst signs RFA offer sheet,
that's
he
wrong.
Should have signed it. And he definitely wrote that. I saw it on his tweet. That's tweet.
Another Paul writes that I've been reading the NFL is considering overtime rule changes, maybe giving each team the chance to be on offense, replacing sudden death. To me, the NFL is getting a lot like Congress. I can't remember the last time the solution they came up with solved anything. My solution is to allow defensive backs 10 yards instead of only 5 to maintain contact with receivers. This would make it a fair fight and more difficult for a good offense to score at will.
I got a better idea. I think the NFL should just deem whoever they think should win the game. And over to not have
then it'd
overtime.
Really be like Congress.
It's a very complex proposal.
The thing that they are talking really about is the one that the competition committee is proposing is that the first team, if they score a touchdown, it's over.
Right.
If they get a field goal, then the other team gets a chance to get the ball. If they tie it up with another field goal, then it's true sudden death.
Sounds too convoluted.
If they get a touchdown, they win.
I
lost interest.
Yeah, too much.
I do. I'm all for his rule, by the way, on illegal contact. That window is too small and
10 yards it sounds like it's better.
Yeah, I'm for that too.
What do you guys think about just changing the rule? Any, you know, should they change the rule, first of all?
Which one?
The overtime rule?
The overtime rule.
No. I really don't have a problem with it, but if they're going to change it, they need to change it to something better than
what
they have
now. To me, it's all or nothing.
And from what I've heard, these things aren't better.
I would either leave it the way it is or play a full quarter of real football.
I'm okay with that.
As opposed to flag football?
No, I mean, it's not
sudden death. Yeah, I think they can play a
full
quarter.
I don't know why.
It gets into labor rules.
What?
Oh, God. Again, with the unions.
Now you're saying no matter
what. I don't think I'm
going to
be able to come in on Saturday.
If you go into overtime, you're going to play it 15 minutes no matter what. And now they're saying, well, you know, you're going to have to pay us more.
Oh, come on.
That's not true.
That
never works when I say
that. TG and NJ, there's no time for Fred not to be listening to you guys talk
football. So you can play 15 minutes possibly, but if you declare that it has to be, does it change?
It's a problem.
That's not true.
It's a problem.
That's not true. The IRS would never allow that.
It doesn't pass the Andy Hart
smell
test.
It doesn't.
That's inaccurate.
It's a problem.
Smells like cologne.
So now that Brady's done.
Leave it alone.
Leave it alone.
Smells like fish.
This is TG. Now that Brady is done.
It's like a buffet. Eat all you wish.
I stopped. I don't know why you're giving me the dirty look. I don't need the hairy eyeball from you.
Now that Brady's done. Paul and Squidward, so it's so. He doesn't show up for OTAs. Got the supermodel wife and the kids. Football's no longer important to him.
Long hair.
Should the Pats try to move up and go after Bradford?
No. I didn't understand. No.
Do you think the Patriots should go after a quarterback early? No, as the heir apparent to Tom.
They'd have to trade with St. Louis to get the first pick if they want to do that.
With Billy Devaney, who was just on TV.
Well, that's what you just said. Do you think they should try to move up to try to get Sam Bradford?
Wow, that's animosity. You two going to fight?
But that's exactly what the guy said.
Two cripples going to fight before you go into the night?
Are you just putting them on the pay no mind?
No, I just stopped paying attention.
About
Bloods in the Crips.
We talked about the overtime rule. And by the way, that overtime rule they're proposing is just for the playoffs.
Right. But still, it's...
No, I know. I'm just clarifying it.
Right.
Is Willie Parker really done? He's without a contract from anyone. What do you guys think? Willie Parker.
If the Patriots didn't have a committee, maybe I'd be interested, but I have no interest.
If they're going to add a running back, they should add somebody who's going to be your number one.
A potential
number one game
workhorse
changer.
Workhorse like Toby Gad.
Right.
I think the Pats missed out on Incognito. Parcells got him. He knows O-linemen. I know
he's under the radar.
Turd history, but I prefer not to have nice guys in the O-line. Better off with some attitude up front. Go ask Hannah.
Wait a minute.
Incognito, though. He's terrible, isn't he?
Yeah.
And there's a difference in Logan Mankins has plenty of attitude on the field, and he's a nice guy. He's not an a-hole. Incognito seems like a real a-hole.
They have plenty of edge, their offensive line. The Patriots' offensive line is it's not the best in the league. It's not a huge problem either.
As the labor negotiations continue or don't continue, it's looking like the owners have got more hand, as George Costanza would say. I agree with that.
No glove, no love.
Will Andy Steelers trade Pig Ben, he calls him, and go after Bradford? Bradford and Mendenhall
would be
Steelers.
Ridiculous.
Now, that is ridiculous.
I think if they cut ties, it would be cut ties. I don't think anybody's going to trade for him.
I don't think they're going to cut ties.
He has like $10 million salaries coming up, $15 million salaries. If they decide they've had enough,
nobody would trade
it'll
for that salary.
Cut. Right.
Cut. And if someone else wants him, they'll have to sign.
I heard
him for
less. Who was it? Oh, Mike Florio was posing. He thinks Pittsburgh's the perfect place for Tebow because they may need insurance for the Roethlisberger issue. And he's like this hard worker. Everybody would love him. Fit in. Crap. I don't know.
Well, speaking of Florio,
I don't see how that makes any sense at all. By the way,
TG thinks that Florio's become the TMZ of the NFL.
Well, not a bad.
Wasn't he always
that analogy?
Kind of,
yeah, I think that's what he's kind of always. I mean, I don't think he's built himself as that, but that's what he's always been.
I would say, if anything, he's
but
kind
he's
of
broken
gone
some
more
stories.
Into.
Yeah, he's
but
a that's muckraker. What.
He, yes, but he's also absolutely. Gone more into football analysis in my mind.
Yeah.
He started out pure anything flu rumor. Now I think he's a little more
because
he's with NBC. So I think they had to rein him in a little bit.
But I mean, he breaks down actual like needs and football and free agency. Before it was like.
I don't
know. Roethlisberger has a third nipple. Run with it.
I don't ever watch any of those things.
Oh, I've never clicked on a video once on any internet site.
When they analyze a situation, I don't care.
Except Patriots.com, right?
No, I've never clicked on a video on any site.
That's true.
P.S. TG, Paulie, been watching the Patriots Today segments. My friend there is only one solution for your hair/no hair problem. It's called a hat. It's okay to wear a hat all the time, even on TV. It could become your shtick. Hey, it's that sports guy with the hat. Yeah, he's full of it. Nice lid, though. How about one of them Irish caps? Maybe try a fedora.
Well, those that's not a bad idea, Paul.
Although you did get a cut the other day, and it looks better than the first time you cut it.
It's still not short enough.
Yeah, exactly it goes shorter. Same.
No, it's not.
I can
it's
get
shorter.
Your yarmulke
it's shorter.
If you want.
Got to go shorter.
It's exactly the same.
Come on, it looks shorter.
No, it's not.
That's what she said.
I think you should go on with like a magician's cap.
I think that was
a
very funny
pointy
email.
One.
Yeah, big pointy with stars.
Hey,
and
there's that
on.
Guy with the Northeastern hat. What school is that?
Like
a cape.
Mickey Mouse and Fantasia.
Yeah, exactly. A cape.
And a cape.
Or just mouse ears.
A cape?
A cape and a monocle. Have a monocle and a cape.
Monocle.
And a cape. Yeah.
I'm Dr. Death.
So we'll look like Mr. Peanut as a superhero.
Yeah, we call you the Grand Wizard of football.
Grand
or the guy from Monopoly.
Isn't the Grand Wizard the head of the KKK?
Oh, I was thinking of the one from wrestling. Remember the Grand Wizard?
The Grand Wizard of wrestling.
Before your time.
Oh, wait. Did I see this before?
Yes.
Stripper sent me the thing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That colonoscopy spit all snuck over up Vince on you again.
The Grand Wizard I think of now, I believe, is... Not what Paul wants to align himself
no,
with.
No, I don't think so.
Since we're on the topic of crappy sports, you mentioned
aren't
Northeastern.
Grand Dragons?
Oh, that's right, Grand Dragons.
And the KKK?
I don't think so. I don't think it's a dragon.
I thought it was dragon.
Someone
will email in.
Tufts.
Hey, there's my girl.
Safety was at BC's Pro Day.
You're really going
to
lose
make
Paul
it into
now.
Camp.
Basketball,
was
Megan
he working
Kelly.
It, or was
no, he was a three-time all-conference player.
Three-time loser.
6'2", 220. And went to Phillips Andover, so my early prediction is he'll be in camp with the New England Patriots as, at worst, rookie mini camp as just a tryout guy.
Who's this?
Invited.
Drawing a blank on the name now.
Where did he play?
Tufts.
Well, he's just not going to listen.
I'm sorry. Pay no mind.
I was talking to him about Megan Kelly.
We talk about Megan Kelly every day of every week.
Oh, boy.
None of us has a chance with her, least of all the guy who's most in love with her.
I don't know why I have to be so mean.
Dave from Connecticut.
There's a solution for your hair problem/no problem. It's called a hat.
Dave from Connecticut. Loved the show. Lifelong Patriots fan who believes the team's two biggest needs in this draft are, one, pass rush, and two, a legitimate stud running back. No more running back by committee.
I don't get it.
When the team won their previous Super Bowls, they pounded the ball and controlled the clock. This will help Tom Brady in the offense because the defense will have to respect the running attack, thus creating more options through the air and hopefully less double teams for Moss. I'm hoping they keep these first four picks and don't trade any of them. Here is a list of the four picks I thought might be possible. Please comment on the picks. Number one, Brandon Graham.
I like it.
Number two, Ryan Matthews.
I like it.
Not bad.
Number 2B, Damian Williams, wide receiver out of USC.
Sure.
He's
in the conversation.
I haven't watched the film yet.
And number
I like him.
2C, tight end out of Florida, Aaron Hernandez.
No, thanks.
I don't like him.
No, thanks.
Oh, my God, that is funny.
I think Ryan Matthews is, you know, he's certainly a productive running back. And, you know, Andy and Eric both liked his tape and stuff. But I just don't want to take a running back that high.
Right.
I just don't I don't share the fans' dismay with the whole committee approach that the Patriots have. It doesn't bother me at all.
What do you think is a late-round pick, the running back from Connecticut? With the dreadlocks.
No. I don't like him at all.
We already have a middling running back with dreadlocks.
Andre Dixon.
And I'm not even talking about Maroney. I'm talking about Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. I think he and Dixon are on, like, the same level.
Okay.
You know, might be okay every once in a while to
productive,
give you a little...
Productive, but not...
Just nothing.
Yeah.
They're future committee members. They're not future presidents.
I think they could
presidents.
Do better than Maroney, but I don't want to put a whole lot of resources into trying to improve on that. I think there are plenty of running backs that you can get that can fill the role. I don't know.
Kevin, this is Tony writes in. He says, love the
Tony,
show.
Tony, Kevin, same.
I usually listen to the podcast during my twice-weekly three-hour commute to and from work, which, by the way, argues for that extra hour you always facetiously suggest. But today, I happen to be in a place where I can listen live. I've got a question for Andy, Paul, and Eric, not for Fred because he can't be trusted to be unbiased.
Ooh.
He's mistaking your negativity, Andy, for being objective.
First of all, he must have mistaken all three of us, and I'm not negative. I'm objective. I want to keep Brady. You want to say, if you'll take this $10 million, otherwise get the hell out.
I just find that funny. The people that are overly negative think that that's objective. When you're negative, I'm objective. Right. And the people that are homers think... But that's the only reason. They're the only one. When you're a homer, you're objective.
I'm not a homer.
That's what people think. It's funny how that works.
I'm objective. That makes me a homer because we have a good team.
Like Mike Felger thinks he's the only objective person in this town.
He's as far
he's
from
as far away
as
from
you
objective
can get.
As you can.
Yes, no question.
I've often heard this is still Tony. Coaching is about putting players in the best position to succeed.
Yes.
I used to think that Belichick was one of the best at doing this, but with the spectacular failure of AD and Derek Burgess, two accomplished talents, and the very spotty performance of several draft picks over the past couple of years, I've started to wonder about this. Has Belichick been trying to fit square pegs into round holes, or has the talent level of these players been grossly overestimated?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the talent level of Burgess grossly overestimated at this point in his career.
By who?
At this point, yeah.
By Bill.
By Bill.
Oh, wait a minute now. He brought him in. We all got excited because a couple years ago he had double-digit sacks. But how do we know what the Patriots actually thought he was going to contribute to the team?
Well, he was obviously a staff. They gave up a third and a fifth to get him.
You know, but so big
so that,
deal.
That tells me that they thought a lot of him.
I mean, but
at the same time, he was Plan C.
I mean, as far as they're concerned, maybe they did. He did exactly what they expected him to do.
Brother-in-law with the right tackle every snap.
If that were the case, I think he would have been re-signed by now.
I think that's not fair, that
by
evaluation.
Because I'm not the only one who holds that opinion.
Well,
people that know the game of football inside and out,
who?
I'm not going to tell you, maintain the same opinion.
I think the Belichick has said that they were very pleased with
what I don't buy it. He says a lot of things I don't believe. On Wednesday, he tells me how good the other team's
everything.
I think everything.
He'd have been re-signed by now.
I don't think it's fair to say the hype that fans gave this guy when he came in was the same expectation that the coaching staff had of him. You know,
they gave up a third and a fifth. They played him a lot. They expected him to produce something.
And he continued to play a lot. So that tells me that, you know, they weren't...
They didn't have anything
Well, they
else.
Didn't have anybody else either.
And the fact that he's still unemployed tells me all
I
need to
know. They had
Pierre
Woods. He didn't, you know...
They had nothing
exactly.
else.
Yeah. They had an undrafted free agent that cost you nothing. That was it.
I'm not as upset about Burgess as I am Thomas. Well,
of course.
You know?
Right, yeah, it's two different things.
Yeah, I mean, that's a much bigger...
I think it's unfair to lump them in as far as the expectation disappointment.
No, it's a much bigger
category.
Resource that you took to get to acquire one.
And you
other.
Can also point to good plays Thomas made. You can't with Burgess.
Mm-hmm.
He never made a play.
No.
Not
See, a single one.
I think that's
one.
Unfair.
How is it unfair? Name one.
He did make some plays.
Name it.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know,
we'll wait. That stand out?
He had a few sacks, and he had some good...
Yeah, but what stands out? What stands out?
He had some good run stops. What? I mean, nobody last year had any big plays in big situations. That's why they were in the situation that they were in. You know?
Again,
even last year, I can point to plays Thomas made. That one play I pointed out to you where he set the edge and then ran the guy down before he got to the sideline for no gain.
I think I can remember several times saying, oh, that was a good run stop by Burgess.
Several times.
You know?
Yeah. That's why he's still out of a job.
You know, so... I don't think
but
he was
the best at setting the edge.
I think it's unfair to say he was
Paul.
That big of a disappointment.
And this
as
is
far
why,
as the coaching staff.
This is why you couldn't
fans,
be asked. This is why you couldn't
this
be
why
asked.
They didn't
question.
Ask you.
This is why the email left you out.
You can't be judged. You can't be judged on what fans' expectations were.
You don't think Bill expected anything of him? He just willy nilly gives away threes and fives.
They expected him
last
to be
year.
That,
bad example because he kind of willy nilly gave away draft picks.
You must be in another galaxy somewhere. There's no way that would happen.
And you truly believe when he said no one's played the position any better? You bought that
because even two players on the defensive line in that locker room didn't buy it.
Well, I mean that's what he said. I didn't say it.
I know. And I don't have a problem with him saying things that aren't 100% true. It's part of managing a team, playing the role as head coach.
Trying to pump up the guy, see if he can get something more out of him for the stretch drive. I understand what he did.
I mean, when he tells me that the Browns, was it, from a few years ago, can score from anywhere on the field, he has to do that. That's what he do. You fluff the other team up. Sometimes you fluff your players up. It's what it needs to be done. I don't call him on it later for being a liar. It's okay. But you're saying it's true.
I just don't
think... He played the position as well as anyone.
I think... I don't think he was as disappointed as fans were in Burgess's...
So they... All the guys that they prioritized to re-sign have signed.
Right.
Where's Derek Burgess?
Well, I mean, he was on a one-year deal, and they don't need to move that fast on him. You know, it's not like there are a lot of other teams looking for him, I guess.
Well, what does that tell you? Why are other teams looking? What does
that
tell
you? Again!
Because they had the tape available to them of the season?
You know, but what you're saying is that the Patriots were just dreadfully disappointed in what they expected from this guy and what he delivered.
I didn't put any adjectives
disappointed.
In front of that. They were disappointed.
Yeah.
They had to have been disappointed with what they got out of a third and fifth round pick.
He underperformed.
He didn't live up to that.
I mean, for
not
all
even,
you know,
not even third and fifth
for
round
all you
picks.
Know, they've made him an
and
offer
that's not
and
that
he
much.
Turned it down. Right?
Not a smart businessman.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's out there shopping himself around just like Josh Reed is.
And if they do sign him, if they do re-sign him, I'll consider it a bad re-sign. I'll state that before it happens.
Okay, that's fine.
Because he did absolutely zero to help your football team last year,
and
except for that he cost you two draft picks.
As a UFA.
That's the only impact he had on your team.
As a UFA, if a team really desired him, he'd be gone already. Because the UFAs that were highly desirable went on the first weekend. Hell, the UFAs that were highly desirable to stay. Did you see this thing, Fred?
This?
The jerk-off?
Oh, my God.
We're watching this infomercial on this dumbbell that vibrates.
I don't know any other way to describe it than picture yourself. But this,
stop it.
This is a new one because the one they
that's
had
not
before
even the name
was
of it?
The one they had
oh, no.
before was.
You think they would call it the jerk off?
No,
I would have thought that's what they had to have called it for you to say.
You
it.
Haven't seen the original of this though, because it's all women who are doing it.
Oh, and I like it when there's women doing
they
it.
Holding, they're holding it in front of them, and it looks like something that you.
The shake weight is the official name of it, Paul. The shake weight.
Fred actually already has one. Right?
You're lost in basketball.
It looks like something you can do while you're watching TV.
There's really a commercial with women doing it?
That was the first one.
When we were at the combine, it was on all week, and there were these women, they were holding it with two hands in front of their chest.
I wish.
it looks exactly like what you think it would look like.
Who's
only
that,
one
Lee?
Is necessary. What, one hand?
When did Tommy Lee get in the picture?
Two's just a cap.
Anyway, Jason from
it's you a much, can tell when he
it's a much better commercial than this thing.
I was uncomfortable.
Look at that, though. I mean, that's what the women were doing. Only they were shooting it from.
Can someone explain to me that why that would do any more than just a regular weight?
Look at the guy's face. It's like gay porn.
It really is. It really is. That's quite. That's disturbing.
Stop
six
that.
Minutes.
Stop it.
I can't see where
it won't last 6 minutes.
You see what happens when the basketball game goes to a commercial?
Paul gets distracted.
Can you handle it?
I get an under
16. It's like a bad SNL skit.
The more you shake it, the harder your muscles get.
And the website is sw4men.com.
Wow.
The number four. You got to see the female commercial. It's much more entertaining.
Jason from Ireland, living in Barcelona. Andy quipped that Roethlisberger had a third nipple. But the real question is, whose was it?
A nubbin?
I don't know. And again,
that would be a huge story, by the way, if he got cut.
And again, no matter what the topic is, one of our listeners is an expert on it, and Adrian is an expert apparently on the KKK.
Oh, boy. Not what we're looking for.
Because he says they're called the Imperial Wizard / Grand Dragon.
Okay. Oh, son of a bitch, we're both right.
I thought it was Grand Dragon. I thought I remembered hearing that term before. But
sounds
Imperial
like
Wizard, Grand Dragon.
Isn't that Cartman's... wrestling thing? The Red Russian Dragon or something?
I don't know.
I got to catch up on my South Parks.
Eric's too highbrow for that.
No, I'm not.
According to John and Dallas.
If the brow goes any higher, it's going to be called his neck.
I
wish I were more highbrow because I didn't have hair on the top of my head.
Number. Let's take a quick break. We'll go back to Kevin from Reading on the phone.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. Says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? Jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited, but only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains!
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warmups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards, first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A., Bank of America N.A., member FDIC, copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
You know, you don't want to be so big and stiff, you know, come season time. You want to be able to loosen up. And I never like to get too big and stiff anyway. I always try to be, you know, more athletic and more lean and, you know, keeping my ability to move.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
He moved all right.
Speaking of the shake weights,
web radio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482 is the phone number.
You're so nervous. You're looking to see the lights on. You're checking the phone number.
Kevin, Kevin is on the phone. How you doing, Kevin?
Kevin!
Hey, Fred, you're killing me here. I waited like 30 minutes sitting in my... I was went out to lunch because I didn't want to go in, and I just went in to order lunch, and then you pull me up.
What'd you order?
Two slices.
Oh, nice. That's a Perillo favorite.
From on where? A diet. On a diet. Just across the street from where I work. Well,
you're on a diet, and you had two slices of pizza? What do you, it really is the Perillo diet.
You say hey, it's a good diet. You just said it's not a diet.
Cutting back.
All right, thanks. Hey, the pizza's ready, just so you guys know.
You're going to sprinkle a little Parmesan on it?
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Oh, I'm off Dez Bryant.
You're off,
off Dez Bryant.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm on to Golden Tate now.
Yep, that's the way to be.
What do you guys think at number 22?
Well, pass rusher, preferably.
Defense.
If there's... One of the two good ones there.
The best defender
okay,
of the
world. He's having two conversations at once.
What? Yeah, he's just telling me the pizza's ready.
And you're just telling him, no, I'm talking about Patriots.
This is important stuff.
Right, I got to take
this. I waited 35 minutes.
So you're off Dez Bryant because he changed his pro day again? Is that the issue?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, he seems to be pissing people off. But
well, because he's got Dion giving him advice.
Yeah, there's nothing good is going to come of that.
That scares me too. I don't trust Dion as well.
As I said at the combine, bad vibes from that.
I did too. The problem is he's got talent.
He does,
as always. When you're in these dilemmas.
Well, the guy's got a lot of talent,
right? But there are other guys with talent out there. He's not going to be the only one.
He could be.
There were other guys with talent out there when people were passing on Randy Moss. Until they realized, oh, crap, he's the only one.
When you look at guys that really bust
out. I'm just saying, though, like there are plenty of examples that teams were scared. There's other guys out there. They're safer picks. And it's Randy Moss and Warren Sapp and these guys that end up being great.
When you look at guys that really bust out in the draft and they end up being flame out. I mean, they just complete Ryan Leaf. It's almost always this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's never that you just completely misjudge the guy's talent.
Right.
It's something about his heart or character that lets the guy has no drive. He has no will to improve and to study and to work off the field. It's always something.
What about
like
Rick Meyer?
Like a 15-year career.
Yeah. I mean, I don't.
Well, but he wasn't. He was talking about being the number one overall pick.
He didn't flame out. He was a starter. He was a backup. He was.
I would say that he's an example of a guy that they overrated his ability.
Right,
that might be an exception to the rule. But I mean,
if Dez Bryant has a 15-year career with like 20 catches,
do you remember the
year
there was like 7 or 8 wide receivers drafted in the first round? Rashawn Woods was one of them way down there. Those guys, Rashawn Woods was a terrific talent, but he did nothing. There's a reason that he did nothing. He was a rockhead, and that's what I think. Dez Bryant might be. I don't know him well enough to say, but he's treading that line right now where I would be very, very afraid mm-hmm. to take him in the first round.
And as Fred pointed out, great leadership from Dion.
Yeah.
Hey, another thing. Seems to be a lot of people have been coming down on Brady a little bit hard. I was listening to, by accident, the Tangway show yesterday.
And, I hope it was an accident.
And I don't know. It just seems whenever a guy makes a great play to win a champion, like Schilling, or everybody says right after it, oh, that guy will never have to buy another drink in the town. But it seems like we get these guys, and a couple of years later, we can't wait to kill them.
Yep.
Like I would say, half the people hate Schilling, right? I've been hearing I've been hearing a lot of this negative stuff towards. It seems like, it's not like major negative, but it's negative nonetheless towards Brady.
That's what we do. We build him up to tear him down.
And I just don't get that. It's if it was one of these things where, he was pulling a Roethlisberger, I could kind of understand it, but I just don't get it.
Well, because fans become impatient when you start to have a little bit of failure or disappointment, especially once when that happens on the heels of something as great as the three championships they won in the 4 years. They came to expect a certain level of performance out of this guy, and they expected that, anytime we're down, Brady will lead us back. And almost all the time he does. But lately that hasn't been the case, and people have short memories, especially in the Northeast where we live.
All right, guys, I got to go get my pizza and go back.
All right, before it gets cold. All right. Speaking of Roethlisberger, Al from Georgia, Big Al, greetings from Valdosta, about 100 miles due south of where Ben Roethlisberger is still being sought for questioning. Maybe he was on his way to Valdosta and just ran out of gas. I can tell you, as a longtime resident of this South Georgia college town, the young ladies around these parts like to party, but you don't push. Too pushy? No pussy. And maybe worse, like possibly.
You can't say that.
In any case, it seems like the Pats have several needs going into the draft. In fact, we now seem to have so many needs that perhaps my annual worthless plea for a linebacker has been overcome by events. Still, I rate that area as the area of greatest need, which is also of the greatest importance. But with Baker and Watson gone, I'm really scared we are going to draft three tight ends.
How about the idea that they're going to just go without a tight end this year? They don't have a tight end coach.
Extra tackle.
That's a good point.
Let's just go without tight ends.
That's a good point. No coach, no players.
So they're not going to play offense and defense either? They don't have an offensive coach and a defensive coach.
No, but they do.
No, they do.
It's Belichick.
Yeah, but they don't have him in a titular sense.
But he said, I'm going to be working more, with it. And I think he didn't say I'm going to be working more with the tight ends.
And there's a guy that's going to coach the tight ends.
All right, listen, if you don't want to play, just say you don't want to play.
Okay, I don't want to play.
All right.
Let's see. Who's this?
No
now?
Pushy. No, what is it?
Pushy. Linden, no. Colton, California.
Who?
Linden.
Linden.
From Fires? Colton, California. I was looking back at the Pats' draft history over the last 10 years. It seems that they have done a poor job at picking offensive skill players in the early rounds of the draft. Brandon Tate is to be determined.
That's correct.
Kevin O'Connell, he said, failed. Lawrence Maroney.
They cut him. The Patriots said he failed.
Lawrence Maroney failed. Chad Jackson failed. David Thomas failed. Benjamin Watson
Saints
failed.
Saints didn't think so.
Bethel Johnson failed. Graham failed. Deion Jantz
Denver
mediocre.
Didn't think so.
Deion Branch and J.R. Redmond failed.
Deion Branch.
Deion Branch was far
Deion
better
Branch
than
was
mediocre.
A Super Bowl MVP.
But
lest we forget
the point. The larger
the
point.
Good receiver here.
The larger point is right. Well taken. I would say, with the exception of Graham and Branch, you got and Watson, you got almost nothing out of all the rest of those guys. And certainly, Graham and Watson weren't as good as they were supposed to be. But you mean Bethel Johnson, Chad Jackson, Marvin Maroney, you got nothing out of
the
these
only
guys.
The only guy that really did anything was Branch. If it weren't for his Super Bowl MVP performance, though, most casual NFL fans outside of New England wouldn't even know who he is. What do you think accounts for the Patriots' inability to pick someone early on that can make a difference on offense? Are they just poor at evaluating players coming out of college? Is it because Belichick is more of a defensive guy and his experience lies in that area?
I don't know what the reason is. I think we always try to answer those kinds of questions. Why? I mean, Do you really think they evaluate him any differently? And because they're offensive players and Bill's not, I mean.
No.
I don't think it's. I think they just miss. Yeah, I think you just, I think you have as good a chance to miss on anything. I think where they've been very successful high in the draft is on the lines.
Right.
Yeah. Offensive and defensive lines, I think they've been successful.
In the first two rounds,
I would put Merriweather in the same category as all those skill positions that you're talking about.
But they've had more success at other, like, defensive spots with corner and safety. They've developed some guys with Eugene Wilson, Asante Samuel. The skill players have been on offense.
I agree. I just think that if you look at, you know, there's Terrence Wheatley and Wilson and other guys that haven't really done much, too.
But Butler. So, I mean, I think they've swung and missed virtually everywhere on skill position offensive players. And I think something might be due to the complexities of the scheme and what they ask guys to do and whether they pick guys that just don't work hard enough or are incapable of making some of the reads and adjustments. And, I mean, it's the same thing with Joey Galloway. Why couldn't he come in and contribute? I think there's some issue there.
Yep.
Not that it's their fault. You know, I think you have every right to have a high standard, and we've seen enough guys come in and succeed, but I think it might be challenging. I think it might be a little harder than maybe even they believe that it is.
Brett in Orlando, I don't get all these people who want to draft a premier running back in the first round, and especially these idiots who want to get rid of Brady and go after Bradford. You've got a You've got a top five all-time quarterback for five more years, so freaking use him. Have each of your running backs get 20 yards a game in your set. Your major needs are a pass rusher and a pass catcher. Trade out of the first round just to piss off the fans.
Who is this? Not a fan, apparently.
Brett from Orlando. So,
I agree about the running back with Brett. I don't understand that, but a lot of people feel like that. Does that put us all in the vast
negative
minority?
Yeah.
No, I don't get it. I don't think running back is as big a problem. I don't know about the five-year thing with Brady, but...
Well, certainly not on paper.
Fred wants to throw him out now.
Right.
Marvin
and
writes...
And his dog, too.
Marvin writes, any chance you guys have seen the North Carolina State back Tony Baker? He is
a
Ray Rice-type back, small, powerful,
not.
Pretty quick.
Nope.
He was number two in the nation coming out of high school behind Jonathan Stewart of Carolina, but made a mistake in choosing Chuck the Whore Amato, North Carolina State, and then suffered a serious knee injury going into his junior year. Spent the next 2 years rehabbing to come back as a starter this past season. He's super strong, benches 400 pounds, great attitude. Father is a former NFL player, so he has some pedigree. I think he would be a good fifth or sixth round pick.
I don't know anything about him.
Who did Dad play for?
Tony Baker, North Carolina State.
Was it Stephen Baker, the touchdown maker?
I don't know.
Is that his dad?
How the hell would I know?
I don't know much about
this
player.
I bet he's not listed.
Anthony wants to know, when will you begin rolling out your NFL draft preview shows to Patriots Today?
Oh, that's a B-low question.
Different department. Yep.
Freddie, I was just flipping through trying to find the running backs just in my Pro Football Weekly to see where they listed Baker, and I hadn't seen this before, but I came across the fullback page and number one.
Toby Gerhardt.
Hurts a little bit, doesn't it?
As a fullback?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what he is.
I told you I downgraded him.
Wow,
now he has him where everybody else thinks he's going to get drafted.
What's the guy's name? Tony Baker? Ron Burgundy?
I don't believe he's in their top 30.
Wow.
Oh.
And Deji Kareem is.
Hamza, or Joe in Toronto. So what do you guys think of Adrian Peterson going to the Vikings? Just kidding, Fred. Okay, so not to take Andy too seriously, because I know he probably only needs 10%
Hamza.
Of what he says normally, at
Who?
Least I hope.
Hamza from
Oh,
Toronto?
This is the guy that calls me Big Head?
But I have to dispute
I got
this.
Something else that's big.
I have to dispute this last nine playoff games thing for Brady. Let's
Wait, that's not mine.
That's
Matt
yours.
Smith.
No,
it isn't.
No, Matt Smith
that's
brought
Matt
that
Smith.
On the show,
yeah.
if you
He's
recall.
He's been beating me over the head with it for years
He's
now.
He's been Brady. On this show. Well, it's not really for years, just since January.
No, because he had last eight or seven. He's been beating it over my head for years.
He's been thoroughly average,
right.
average to below average in his recent playoff.
All right, let's recap, shall we? Here are his last
We already did this.
Here are his last
We already did this.
I'm doing it again. From the most recent backward, 2009 wild card, I'll give you the Ravens game. Obviously, worst game I've ever seen him play, QB rating of 49. Super Bowl 42, you can't say he didn't lead the team to go-ahead touchdown when it counted, only to be let down by the defense. Not too bad, considering all the pressure and no picks. 82 rating.
Put 14 points on the board. Next.
AFC Championship 2007 struggled against San Diego. No argument
was
there.
Was terrible.
Rating 66.
Terrible in that game.
Division Championship 07 broke all-time completion percentage record against Jacksonville. Three touchdowns, two incompletions, flawless in a word, rating 141.
I take out all games against the Jaguars.
That was an outstanding performance.
AFC Championship in 06 versus Indy played okay, given that even Paul could have played receiver on that team. Should have won the game, rating 79.
He was okay in that game.
AFC Division Championship 06 versus Chargers didn't play very well.
Terrible
led the
in
team
this game.
To the game-winning field goal.
He was terrible in this game.
57.1 rating.
57.1 is terrible.
They're all below 80.
AFC Wild Card 06 versus Jets, rating over 100 in a blowout.
He was good in that game.
Had over 100 yards for Pete's sake, rating 101.
So we got two good games.
Two Tom Brady games.
All right, two out of seven so
nine.
Far. AFC Division Championship 05 plays poorly, as does the whole team. Gets Shanahan, rating 74.
Two out of six.
And wildcard game 05 versus Jacksonville, three TDs, no picks, rating of 116.
I told you, you take out the Jags games.
So three out of nine, he was Tom Brady.
And right. Two were against Jack were Dell over Match Rio. Yeah.
Two of them were against a team that is always just happy to make the playoffs.
So I would say, while things have definitely have been up and down, especially compared to the first nine.
Down. That's where I'm going to disagree. They haven't been up and down. Consistently over his last nine playoff games, he's not been up to Tom Brady standards. Mm-hmm. That's not up and down. That's down.
That's down with some moments of up.
Let's not make it seem like his last nine playoff games, he's been awful. He's had some great games, some good games, and a couple of really bad games.
Six out of nine, he was awful.
Point is, I really don't see this as much of a trend in either direction, and saying that he hasn't lived up to his big game reputation in any of his last nine playoff games is misleading, in my opinion.
Are you going
to
compare it to his first, whatever it was, eight? Because there's no comparison.
Okay.
Okay. So that would make it a trend. There was a trend in one direction and a trend in the other. So now he didn't have the weapons. I forgot.
Well, I think the 07 game Super Bowl, he had no chance. He didn't have a shot.
Listen, I'm not blaming it on him in every circumstance. Not every bad performance was entirely all on him. He didn't play a Tom Brady-like game. In the Super Bowl.
Right, but neither did the whole team.
They should have won the game 14-10.
No, but he
wouldn't have made his performance any better.
That's what Paul's saying. It's not just his fault.
Right.
But just like it wasn't just him who won.
Right. Exactly. Right.
But that was all given to him.
Much like when he was here earning parking spaces, he was the second coming of Christ. Now that he's not, it's not a big deal that he's not here. It can't be both. I never thought it was a big deal when everybody was saying, isn't it great he's getting a parking space? I thought it was great that he was winning titles.
Right.
See, I thought it was great. And back then, I didn't hear people talking about chemistry and camaraderie.
Exactly.
Now chemistry and camaraderie is a problem when the leader of the ship isn't on the ship.
But to say that he's been up and down over those last nine playoff games is inaccurate. He's won a couple of games that he's played abysmally in. He's won twice while throwing three interceptions against San Diego.
This hot off the presses from John isn't true, is it? He says the Patriots have traded their first-round 2010 pick to Detroit for Calvin Johnson. I don't think that's true. I'd be happy if it was.
And you hear no groan, sighs, or anything else.
Pause, sigh, lie.
John in Dallas has his picks for rounds one and two. Number one, Brandon Graham.
Okay.
Number two, Gresham.
Okay, sure.
I like it.
2B, Aluwala.
Don't know him.
The kid from California, defensive end.
And another.
lineman, don't like
him. Oh, no, his first initial is T. T. Aluwala. I don't know who he is.
I don't know who that
That's
is.
That's California.
And then 2C has Toby Gerhardt.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. No.
We don't need a fullback in the second round.
50%, I'm with you, John. I like your first two picks.
And by the way, if I want a fullback, I might draft Tim Tebow. I'll allow him to be my fullback, my H-back, my...
Wildcat back.
Ooh.
Chris says, I think the Patriots are in need of a big running back like Corey Dillon, someone with good vision and the ability to break a tackle at the line of scrimmage. Know of any? Yes, I do. His name is Jonathan Dwyer.
Oh, God.
I can't wait till he sucks.
Strippers, Tuesday saw Oklahoma fullback Matt Clapp. Solidified as a late-round choice. The 249 lead blocker posted 40 times in the 4-6 range, then turned in a terrific pass-catching workout.
Makes him way better than Jonathan Dwyer.
I'm going to really enjoy watching this. over the next 2 or 3 years.
Well, you're never going to see Dwyer. He'll get a couple chances.
No, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not comparing him to anybody else.
He's going to walk out of the league.
Just Dwyer. I want to see how he plays, and I want to see if Fred's right or you're right. It's going to be fun to watch. Let's blog about it, Eric.
Okay.
Strippers also says Florida inside linebacker Brandon Spikes was unable to break 5 seconds in the 40-yard dash of the Gators' pro day. His unofficial times were 5.02 and 5.08.
I heard Doc talking about him again today, by the way.
Spikes is a big hitter with playmaking cover skills, but his 40 will haunt him on draft weekend. Once thought to be a late first-round prospect, he may now struggle to go in the second.
Those people, McEgos and the like, trying to have somebody different, many of them were saying, you know, I think Spikes could be better than Rolando McClain. He could be the best inside linebacker in this draft, most versatile. Where are all those guys now? I bet you they don't have him ahead of McClain anymore. By the way, I'll take him with one of my
But that email is right.
What?
You can't crack five seconds in the four. I mean, that's Perillo speed.
That's Oscar Lewis speed.
When you can't crack 5 seconds.
Freddie Roach, remember him?
Oh, God.
The play would go. Wait for it. Ooh, Roach just diagnosed it and started moving.
But on top of that, you're not fast? I mean, it's one thing if you're not quick. If you're not fast.
I'd take him. I think he can play.
No, but he's not getting drafted in the first round, though.
No, God, no. That's why I was I told you the other day, the best news I've heard in weeks is his 40 time, because I think you could now get him as like a fourth-round pick, potentially. I really wish they had a third. Can they get a third?
You need to make a trade.
If they hadn't traded for Burgess, they'd have a third.
Do you think by the time draft day comes, the Patriots will have a third-round pick?
No.
By the time draft day comes, no, but during the draft, yes.
Okay.
They don't like to have holes in the draft, and Bill will work hard. He, you know, you might be right.
I think they'll get one
before
the draft.
You might be right. He might find a way to get one, because every once in a while he does make one of those trades the week of the draft to have one going into the draft.
Yep.
Maybe he'll do it by then.
They'll have one.
Because he doesn't like those gaps in the draft.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Thanks for joining us.
Let's do another hour.
Rajin, thanks for lunch today. I really appreciate it. And see you next Tuesday.
That'll do it. Another PFW in Progress. We'll be back next week.
Yeah! Yeah! Yeah, God, yeah!
Patriots.com Radio.